Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bilpolian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
What are you
going to
do today?
Whatever I feel like I want to do.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
What the heck are you guys doing? Trying to ruin my life? Make me look like a freaking idiot?
Paul Perillo.
I see you're drinking 1%. Is that because you think you're fat?
And Andy. And Andy?
You gonna eat your tots?
Andy Hart.
Give me some of your tots.
No, go find your own.
Come on, give me some of your tots.
No, I'm freaking starving. I didn't get to eat anything today.
Eric Scalavino.
Aren't you pretty good at drawing, like, animals and warriors and stuff?
Yes. Probably the best that I know of.
For now, anyway.
It took me like 3 hours to finish the shading on your upper lip. It's probably the best drawing I've ever done.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Back in 82, I used to be able to throw a pigskin 1/4 mile. How much you want to make a bet I can throw a football over the mountains? A coach would have put me in fourth quarter. We'd have been state champions. I'd have gone pro, you know, soaking it up in a hot tub with my soulmate.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. Ooh, I said that. Everybody scrambled. They threw down their plastic forts and picked up their headphones and grabbed their mics. Is that what you're grabbing, Paul? Oh, no, that's... Oh, anyway, welcome to PFW in Progress.
Oh, that didn't take long to go completely the wrong way.
Oh, wow. Gosh. Well, anyway, we'll be here until 2 o'clock talking Patriots football and whatever else.
Just wanted to tell you,
online.
Doc, the potty mouth is trending towards everybody else is doing it now. I watched the Golden Globes and Richie Gervais, or whatever his name is.
Ricky Gervais.
Was making jokes that were totally on a PFW in Progress level about his penis, and it looks big in my hand, and let's be honest, it's always in my hand. I mean, if that flies on NBC, then it certainly flies here.
NBC has to do something.
People are following us.
Nobody's watching.
Maddie in the Morning Show is always dirty like us locally. They're very successful. People have seen a successful trend that we've led, and they're following.
Yeah,
Is it us or Howard Stern?
Don't repeat that out of this room, please, Andy.
No, see, Howard Stern was just flat out dirty. We danced the line. We, you know, double entendres.
Yeah. All right, anyway, webradio at patriots.com is the email address. 508-543-7482 is the phone number. And a lot of off-season talk. Obviously, we've got the playoff games that happen over Sunday, and now we know who's going to be in the respective conference champions. And, my God, who would have ever thought at the beginning of the year that the Jets would be playing the Colts for the Lamar Hunt Trophy? Unbelievable.
Who would have thought a month ago when their head coach, when their head coach didn't think they were in the playoffs?
Right. You know, for
Rex Ryan may have thought it at the beginning of the year, but he didn't think of it a month ago because he thought he was out.
We have to stop short of 2 weeks ago because Teddy Bruschi said it. And
right.
I kind of laughed at him. I didn't think there was a chance they would make this kind of a run. And
these things really are huge.
Well, I mean, he respects their defense. And
I respect their defense, too. I just thought they would fall behind in one of, you know, in the playoff scenario, I thought they would fall behind and that would be their undoing.
And you
but
thought Sanchez would cost them a game, too, probably.
Because they fell behind.
Yeah.
They never fell behind. I mean, 7-0 is not really falling behind. And they never fell behind. They get up the first score in both games, but they never were two scores down in either one of them, and they were able to continue
to
protect
them.
They
played on their terms, and as long as games are played on their terms, they have a chance to win.
Now, that said, all the credit in the world to them because they forced, you know, the Cincinnati game, okay, Cincinnati's not that good. But San Diego is a good football team, and they forced San Diego to play on their terms.
Yeah, they sure did. And then, of course, on the other side, we've got the marquee matchup, Brett Favre versus Drew Brees, 1-2 in the NFC. And what do you guys like? How do you like that game? How do you see that turning out?
Well, I like New Orleans. Yeah, I like New Orleans, too. I'm hoping that my prediction of Favre Carson in the game in the divisional round will take place now in the conference championship. Right. But
the only thing I... would feel kind of good about as a Vikings fan, and I said this to Paul, I think sooner or later Adrian Peterson's going to go off. He's been quiet for a long time now.
No long runs.
And sooner or later, he's too good to me to be contained forever. And now maybe it's Paul says he's done for this year. Maybe it'll be next year. But I still feel like at any time he could have 200 yards. And if he does that, the Vikings are going to win.
Yeah. Well, now back to this Jets-Colts game.
I like the Saints big, by the way.
Back to this Jets-Colts game. Obviously, for a Patriots fan like me, you can't win and you can't lose. You don't want either team to go to the Super Bowl. And
so can't you lose?
What?
You can't win.
Yeah, I didn't really get it either.
You can't win, but you can lose because you don't like either team.
You're going to lose.
Well, I hate the Jets.
I know,
man.
But if the Jets win, then I'm happy the Colts don't make it. And if the Colts win, I'm happy the Jets don't
make it. And you root against both of them in the Super Bowl.
Right.
No matter one of them.
Right,
I mean.
Either one. Now, I think I'm going to be rooting.
You said you were going to root for the Colts over the Saints.
Only if they were 16-0.
Oh.
I have not yet decided.
How could that be? Oh, how could that explain it to you?
I'm leaning towards rooting for the Jets in this game because wouldn't it be sweet to have the Colts knocked out by the team that they let in by laying down and not going for the perfect season?
I agree with you.
That would be kind of ironic, as they say.
So, now, is it really, or is that Alanis Morissette ironic? I don't know.
No, that's really ironic. That's irony.
It's a little too ironic.
I agree with you, Fred. I mean, you're going to hear from the Jets no matter what because of their coach and the attitude that they've developed under him.
Right.
But if the Colts go all the way and win again, you really are going to have a legitimate argument from Colts fans saying that they're the team of the decade. Peyton's right. a better quarterback right, than right. Brady. If he goes and loses again,
right.
you don't have to Chargers, ever hear from them.
The Chargers are the new Colts. They've taken over the choke in the playoff mantle. You know, that's the Chargers. They own that now. But
I don't think they've choked more times than the Colts have.
They may not have more times, but recently, I mean, they've
matter
won
fact,
nothing.
Matter of fact, the Chargers own the Colts in the playoffs. So for that reason alone, the Colts are bigger
But choking. At least the Chargers have, I mean, the Colts have won it once. They got through
That's
it
true.
Once.
That's true. Good you point
know,
by you.
The Chargers haven't done it at all. Patriots news, they signed Julius Peppers this morning. No. Sorry about that.
That's not right.
Everybody was like,
6 minutes into the show.
Just kidding.
No, it wouldn't, first of all, be legal. He's still under contract with another team.
The league year's not over yet.
You've come up with more ideas for tampering and collusion in the last 24 hours than in your whole previous career.
I'm not sure that what I described yesterday was tampering. If a team...
It didn't sound all above board.
No, listen. If a team with a player under contract allows that player to talk to another team or teams, that's not tampering. I think you can do that.
But it doesn't pass the sniff test.
Why?
Yeah, it doesn't.
I don't know.
I think I've heard many times where teams have told a player, go out and see what kind of deal you can get. And they've given him permission to do that.
What's your scenario?
But now?
All right, here's my scenario. My premise is that you don't want a disgruntled Vince Wilfork. And if you seriously are worried about...
I think that ship has sailed already, but...
Well, I don't know. But, no, I think those things can be easily undone when a nice contract is offered, okay? Those things are easily rectified.
I agree.
Yeah, but that's pretty much always the case.
Okay, but let's just say that you're the Patriots and you seriously have a problem with, you know, paying a 400-pound guy a lot of money over a lot of years.
You went from 325 to 400.
Here we go.
I'm surprised he wasn't described as a 400-pound two-down guy.
You're seriously worried about how many more years he's got left, you know, because of the size of these guys. You know, Chris Jenkins, as much as I like him, I've always liked him since he was a Panther, he's been out a lot lately. I don't know if that has to do with his size or what, but...
What about Ted Washington?
He's oft injured, you know?
What about Ted Washington?
Ted was pretty durable, I think.
He played for a long time,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, so let's just say you have serious reservations about giving Wilfork a long-term contract, okay? But, you know... If he plays here, you want him to play with a good attitude, but you also can't let him walk, okay? So you don't want to franchise him because he's going to be disgruntled. You don't want to just simply not re-sign him because now you're losing out on this guy that you've developed over 6 years. And so what about this? What about saying to him, okay, go out, see what type of offers you get, as long as we have the right to match that offer. If you find an offer that you like and we don't want to match it, all we'll ask for is a second-round pick. What do you think of that? So you're getting something You're not going through the franchise, which is unlikely that somebody's going to do that and have a, and then you have a disgruntled player. So you get a second-round pick out of it. You don't have to give him a long-term contract, and you don't have a disgruntled player on your roster.
Why do you have to do this now?
Because if you wait until March 1st, you can't do anything with him. He's a free agent.
Except tag him. No.
Right, except tag him.
Well, then...
No, because that ship will have sailed in February 20-something.
Well, then why would Vince Wilfork do it now?
To avoid the franchise tag.
But he's still not truly free.
No.
No, but it's better than being franchised, maybe, in his mind.
See, I would just say yes if I'm Vince Wilfork. Let the date pass for the franchise tag and then say, I changed my mind, I'm a free agent,
I'm leaving. You can't make up the rules. Yeah.
None of this passes the sniff test. I don't know which rule exactly it breaks or five.
Basically, what the Patriots are saying is we are going to franchise you, but we're giving you the opportunity to avoid that as long as we get something in compensation.
But you can't guarantee that.
Neither,
because he can't sign a new deal before the new league year because he's still a Patriot.
Why is that if we trade him for a second?
Because the trading deadline's already passed. You can't trade him.
Really?
Yeah.
You have to wait till March 1st for that? Or?
Yeah.
Wait for the new league.
It's actually March 5th.
March
5th.
Free
agency starts March 5th.
But still, you can have the deal in place.
Yeah, but my point is, all I would do is Vince Wilfork is tell you, okay, sure, Patriots.
Yeah.
That's fine. And then once the deadline for the franchise tag passes, flip you the bird, go to free agency and leave.
Well, I guess you could do that. You know?
That would be my feeling.
And I wouldn't feel bad about it. I'd say I negotiated in good faith last year. You got an extra year out of me in good faith. I played the good soldier.
I guess that could happen. I guess that could happen. But barring that, would you do it if you were either side?
I don't think so.
No,
it just doesn't feel
on
right.
On which side?
To me. Either side.
Really? Too sleazy?
Yeah, I wouldn't if I were.
It stinks.
You wouldn't do it if you were Wilfork.
No.
Would you do it if you were the Patriots?
Sure.
You'd take a second round pick for Vince Wilfork?
Sure. I'm not going to get anything for
him.
I'll take a second round pick.
Also think that...
Kind of a risky move, though. If I were the Patriots, I would be worried about that.
It could be risky, but maybe Wilfork goes out there and sees what they're offering, which no one really knows exactly what the Patriots have offered. I've heard that they feel it's very fair. I have no idea what it is. But maybe he goes out and finds out that what I can get is maybe just a little bit more. If I go back and ask for that, maybe they'll match it.
Yeah, that's why I would do it if I were the Patriots, because that way, if the best thing for the Patriots is he goes out there and he sees that my offer is very fair.
Right.
The other teams are offering ballpark of what I'm offering.
Right.
Maybe I might have to bump up a little bit to meet the best thing he gets. I have the opportunity to re-sign him.
Right.
Or get something for him, which the second part of that I don't have right now.
Right.
Unless I franchise him.
Right.
And we all know the franchise isn't always the best scenario for either side.
Right.
Is there any way for the front office to find out above board what the market value for Wilfork might be?
No.
Well, I mean,
he's not a free agent until free agency starts.
There's estimates for players of his ilk.
Right.
Yeah. So, Chris Jenkins signed with the Jets, a year ago? You could take his thing and then add inflation to it and say, okay.
No, that's not what I'm
getting
at.
Jenkins is a little older, right?
Yeah.
So, you have to factor that all in and say, okay, Wilfork should make a little bit more, percentage.
I know they can do that, but I'm saying, is there any way for them to...
They can't go around asking teams what you're going to pay, and no team in their right mind would say it. Why would I help the Patriots in figuring out what to do with their player? I want that uncertainty out there. There's no incentive for a team to talk to the Patriots.
Yeah, I'm just trying to figure out if there's anything that could be gleaned from other teams.
Nothing legal. I mean, sure, his agent can come and say, yeah, I've already talked to the Redskins. They got $55 million on the table.
Right, but that's from his camp telling you. I wouldn't necessarily trust that.
But that's clear tampering.
But you're going to trust another team to tell you? I mean, you can't trust either side. You're your own business here. You got to run your business.
Now, it's pretty well known and understood that agents, even if they don't do it directly, they send out feelers through whoever to talk to other people on other teams. Hey, hypothetically, if there was a nose tackle that had been in the league for 6 years and
Wilfork,
this were his stats, what would you pay for such player? They do that all the time, I'm sure. So I'm sure Wilfork's agent is going back to Wilfork and saying, look, this is what you can get, okay? I can't guarantee it, but I'm pretty certain that if we're on the market, this is what I can get for you.
Right.
Now, players have been screwed that way. Sometimes it doesn't work out for them, but it happens all the time.
And he'll be really mad if he gets screwed.
Oh, yeah.
If his agent convinces him, we need to dig in a little, we need to get free agency, I have this on, I can get you this, and he doesn't get that, he'll be mad because he really wanted to come back here. He likes it here. This is home. He wanted to be here.
Yeah.
So if he gets screwed on the open market, he won't be happy.
Yeah. So I don't know. I'm just trying to think a little creatively out of the box, trying to help both sides, I thought.
Thinking creatively like Bernie Madoff did.
Wow.
It's called illegal.
Not quite a pun. Wait a minute. I don't think there's anything illegal about what I said, is there? Paul knows. He's the arbiter of illegalities.
No, I'm not entirely sure if there's anything illegal about that.
Does it stink? Does it smell funny?
It doesn't seem like it would be legal.
Why?
Well, it's not in the CBA.
What is it? You're allowed to give players permission to talk to other teams. Yes, no?
I don't know if that's allowable at this time of year.
After the trading deadline.
You can't make a trade now, so I don't know if that's allowable at this time of year.
Maybe
that's why I kind of agree with Andy and Eric. It doesn't pass the sniff test.
Maybe it's not. Maybe they didn't have to write that specifically in the CBA because, like Andy said, you wouldn't do it because you can't trust either side to adhere to it until March 5th. So even if you have a deal in principle, it can't be on paper because there's no the trading deadline's over, and then you just can't trust either side to live up to it. Maybe that's why it's just kind of without saying we don't even need to write that in there. I don't know.
Bottom line is I don't see any way that you don't franchise him. Whatever that date is in late February,
yeah, I agree.
I think you will get Patriots use franchise tag on Vince
Wilfork. Yeah, I agree.
Okay, so let's talk about that because, Vince Wilfork isn't the first guy in the league to have been franchised.
Right.
I don't know the answer to this. I know that prior to being franchised, a lot of players say, I'll be pissed if I get franchised.
And he has said that.
How many of them, though, end up sitting out or really just stinking it up that year?
Not many.
Yeah, so I think it's...
In fact, a lot of them end up making out very well because of it.
Yeah.
Julius Peppers is a guy. He made it through a good year, healthy, made $16 million. If they want to do it again, they got to pay him 20-whatever million.
Right, because it's 120% of the last year.
Walter Jones did it where he did it three times, then got the deal at the end of that. I mean, a lot of guys have made out because of it.
Yeah.
I'm actually trying to think of guys who were injured in their franchise year. Because that's the fear. You don't have the long-term deal, and you get...
Yeah, I don't think it happens.
I mean, if you could guarantee me that I was going to make top dollar for the rest of my career on a one-year deals and not get hurt, it's a no-brainer. Because every one of those years are guaranteed once you get through training camp.
It's big money.
It's big money. So I think that there is a lot of... I think a lot of it is posturing. And perhaps if they do franchise him... Wilfork will just go about his business like he has done and go out there and play for himself and play for his teammates and at the first opportunity he gets, go to another team if he can.
That's kind of what it sounded like when he talked because he said he was going to be upset. But again, there's a difference between being upset, skipping summer stuff, and skipping September stuff. Mm-hmm. I just don't see him doing that.
He has little choice.
Right.
I mean, Andy brought this up a couple of weeks ago. He really can't go anywhere, especially with the labor situation. What's he going to do? Sit out 0-10?
Right.
And then have a chance to...
0-10?
Whatever. And then have a chance to be out of football in 11?
Right.
Is that okay?
Then you think... if you think he weighs 400 pounds now, he'll be tipping 5 bills if he sits out 2 football seasons.
If he wanted to really get...
Look like Paul.
Get nasty about it, he could set himself up to go 2 years without playing football.
Right.
That doesn't benefit him in any way.
No.
He'll be done. He won't get a long-term deal.
Yeah. I think he could kiss that goodbye forever.
And I don't know how much this would play into his thinking at all, but a guy his size, when you just hear the news over the weekend about Gaines Adams, you have to sort of, in the back of your mind at least, consider the fact that, if you're getting that kind of money thrown at you, it's kind of hard to turn it down.
Yeah.
That is hard.
So
I don't think you think about it, his options are get the $7.5 million or whatever of a franchise tag or say $20 million guaranteed, whatever. I mean, you're really going to leave $13 million on the table? I know you in your mind might have 27 or 30 or whatever the number is, but can you imagine leaving that much money guaranteed on the I'm talking about you sign this document and this money is yours for life.
Right.
And Eric's right, not just with, freak things like that, but anything.
Right.
Just the ability to now say, my bank account has $20 million in it.
Put half away for the future. Don't even touch it.
Do the Jay Leno.
Collect interest.
Don't use your paycheck.
Right. Set up your kids.
That's what he does, has never cashed a paycheck. What?
Well, now that he's going to get 30 to walk away.
No, I know, but Jay Leno has never used his paycheck. He goes to Vegas and does stand-up things to make money at like 100 a pop and uses that for his living pocket. Wow. And then the NBC real paycheck, his job, he just saves. Apparently he has some sort of phobia where he fears going bankrupt and being unsuccessful.
I don't know what's
going
to happen.
Who the hell was that? Didn't sound anything like Jay Leno.
It was a combination of Jay Leno and Bernie Corbett.
Sounded like a gangster, people like an old 20s gangster.
Yeah, see?
You see?
I'll pocket the cash and get in the lane here.
What the hell was that? That sounded like Adam Sandler doing some impression.
I watched a little Happy Gilmore over the weekend. It's a good flick.
All right, lunch today is provided by James Pettigrew. Thank you very much, James.
Thank you very much, James. Outstanding.
Thank you.
And James has sent us an MP3.
Ping.
So let's hear it.
Hi, my name is who? My name is what? My name is Steven. Hi, my name is who? My name is what? My name is Steve. Hey, ladies, what's up? Sorry I haven't sent in an MP3 for a long time. I was visiting Harvard a few months ago and my wheelchair battery ran out whilst I was on the T. I have spent the last 6 months traveling between a life and brain free nonstop before someone noticed. Daniel, what the hell happened? Another early postseason? So, my question is, are we drafting for position, best player or both? Also, any interest in Tapao? Okay, well, enjoy the lunch, Corkso Curs. Keep up the good work. And with Barb, the Jets and Penis Head in the playoff, you must be real happy, Fred. And remember, don't be a wheelchair hater, be a celebrator. Stevie H. out.
All right, good one.
And he didn't even include the Saints, who you have a newfound hate for because of their fans.
Yeah, not as much anymore. That's kind of died. That's waned.
You've come to your senses.
What are you rooting for in that game, Freddie?
Saints, Freddie.
I'm
rooting for the Saints.
Yeah.
Me too.
I would be rooting for the Saints even without Brett Favre, but that just adds. And by the way, Fred?
Yeah.
They ran up the score.
The Saints?
No, the Vikings.
The Vikings? Because of that last play?
The last two times they had the ball, they were doing everything they could to score. Everything they could.
I got no problem with it.
I know you don't because you have to be consistent because the Patriots do it.
No, because I just don't have a problem with it.
I'm not asking you if you had a problem with it. I'm just telling you they
ran
up the score.
I don't have a problem with it because the Patriots do it. I just don't have a problem with it.
In general.
Because the Patriots do it.
I don't know.
Feel an argument between these two coming
up. We are right at the top in the slope. It's all greased up and we're ready to go over the edge.
We have too many other things to talk about today. I just wanted to point out that it's not about – I know you always make fun of Andy and I because you say that we don't do things for the Patriots. That had nothing to do with the Patriots on Sunday. That's running up the score.
Well, I can say you need to be consistent because you criticize the Patriots.
That's why the other team got mad. That's why Keith Brooking was screaming at their sideline.
One foot has gone over the slope.
They should be mad because they got killed. That's why they should be mad.
2 feet. Now we're grasping by fingernails.
Obviously, these people that talk out after these games and whine and bitch – they're really mad at themselves, and they're just lashing out at whatever else they can.
I just think that's
Dr. Phil over here.
That's true.
That's the big time like macho man thing that you have say when you're in professional sports.
Stop him! Right. Gotta stop him.
Dr. Phil loves me,
but you don't complain when you get scored on. Oh, they're being mean to it. I just don't understand.
Throw
that.
A red challenge flag.
We are the game. The clock is still ticking. Correct. I mean, I don't know. Anyway,
no, don't.
Stripper says...
Wait, can we answer his email? He bought us lunch.
Yeah, he wants to know, are the Patriots going to draft for need or for...
both, as always.
Yeah, both.
And Tim Tebow, the fourth round, sure. I have no
Tim Tebow came up in that MP3 thing?
I think that's what he said. Do you have any interest in Tim Tebow? Wasn't that what
I don't, yeah,
it was
I don't
hard,
mean
it was
to,
hard
to...
Yeah, it's hard to understand his
I didn't mean
MP3s.
To overlook the email. I don't really... I can't really understand what he says.
It's hard. You have to really concentrate.
I did catch the need or player. The player
I think
or
it's
need.
The
thing.
Same as both.
That's about it.
Plus, it's a little early for draft talk.
You didn't catch the alewife joke?
I did catch that. Okay. Maybe I understood more of it. Good point, Freddie. Maybe I understood more of that than I thought.
Yeah.
Okay.
it's your accent that I don't get.
So, using that
yeah,
question,
yeah.
Are we all in agreement that pass rusher would be the need if.
It's one of them.
For the second year in a row, yeah.
No, but I'm saying if you have a top need heading into the draft, that would be it.
Yeah.
It
assuming they don't sign Julius Peppers this morning.
Yes. That's mine.
If you're at 22, if you stay there, and
then you're not getting the
whoever
elite.
The best talent is other than quarterback, I think I would take, right?
It doesn't matter. You guys really have to see Jose Offerman lay out the umpire, by the way.
Well, I'm not sure he laid
it
him out.
It looked like a phantom punch.
I think he
missed.
Took a dive.
I think
like
he missed, but
punch.
It doesn't matter.
Guy took a dive.
He did.
I think
soccer
he missed,
player.
But it doesn't matter.
Yeah, he looked like a soccer player.
He did. That's exactly
or
like
one of those European hockey guys taking a dive near the goal. No, but I'm saying if it's if a guy, you know, if you're trading up, if you're focusing, if you're just going to sit at 22 or trade down, then
it's whatever's there.
Right.
If you're trading up, you're identifying a pass rusher in my mind.
If you go get a pass rusher.
So who do you move up for? Who would you move up for?
We don't know.
It's too early.
I'm going to tell you a guy I would move up for.
Derek Morgan.
Position.
Pass rusher.
Paul's in love. Well, I'll tell you another
one.
C.J. Spiller.
I love C.J. Spiller. I've
loved him for 4 years. He's the new age running back, playmaker, fast.
I totally agree.
Versatile. Bake.
But what if
break,
the, what
big
if,
plays.
What if the best left tackle in the draft was available? Would you
I already
move
have.
Up to him?
I thought I just got the best left tackle in the last draft.
Who, Vollmer?
Sebastian Vollmer, yeah. The guy you
Freddie,
fell in love with on
you
draft.
You were the guy way
well,
out in front of the...
He forgets that.
No, you were way out in front
I
of the curve
I think he's
going to
be good,
one.
But I don't think he's a blue-chip left tackle.
Well,
he's
I think he's going to be
he's
a very good
be
left tackle.
Orlando Pace or Jonathan Ogden.
You don't
or,
need that.
But you were
you
saying...
No, but I'm saying if a guy of like that is available, do you go get him?
No.
No?
No?
Those guys bust as
and
often
keep
as anyone.
Vollmer at right tackle?
Who's no, I put Vollmer at left tackle.
Who's to say Vollmer's not going to be a blue chip left tackle?
I usually those guys it. Are identified right off the bat.
He just said it.
And half the time they're wrong.
No, but
is Jake Long one of those guys?
Was he supposed to be a blue chip?
Yeah. He was the number one pick in the draft. He's a two-time Pro Bowler.
I was going to say second. He was
no, he was
one.
The number one overall pick, and he's a two-time Pro Bowler.
He and Gallery are guys that never really made it. You know.
No, wait a minute. Stop.
You have one bust and one guy who appears to have hit.
Gallery?
Gallery's a complete and total bust.
Right.
Jake Long has been in the league 2 years. He's been a two Pro Bowl.
He's a two-time Pro Bowler, maybe a two-time All-Pro. I don't know about
so
that.
So he was identified.
But you just put – never mind.
I'm
sorry if I go slipping down a slope into an argument
Jake
here.
Long was a high draft pick. Yes,
but Mike,
no?
He was the
highest
number one
you
can
so
be.
So was Robert
right.
Gallery.
But Gallery was a bust.
But he was identified right. as a once-in-a-generation talent by none other than Bill Belichick,
but
by
usually those high draft picks are – what they're supposed to be.
No, at tackle, I would argue it's 50-50.
I think
really?
It is 50-50
yes.
at tackle.
I don't think there's a position that's immune to
who was
bust.
The stud left tackle that the Rams took last year?
I don't remember.
Thank you, because he's not that good.
Smith?
Yes, Jason.
What position did they take him at?
Left tackle.
No, I mean
three. I believe.
Three.
They took him at three?
Yeah. It's 50-50. I think left tackle is 50-50.
I don't think that there is a position that – I know that offensive lineman – Fred's theory is sound. I think that's the way most people think.
No,
I did
the
research on this.
People think it, but it's not true.
I did the research on this, and you remember, there's no position that's immune to busts.
No, I know that, but I just think that if I can get if I can solidify my offensive and defensive lines, you're halfway there.
But how much better is he than
Vollmer? So why can't we solidify the defensive line with the pass rusher?
You can. I'm just saying.
That's the bigger need. You have a left tackle.
I know, but you're saying – the guy that you would move up for is a pass rusher. I'm saying if there's a guy at another position that you think is a sure thing, you go regardless of position, you might go after him if you're a Patriot, if you're the Patriots.
Sure.
You might.
I mean, for me, regardless of – and this might be reason number 8,000 why I'd be a terrible GM. I don't care what I would have on my team. I would never identify a left tackle and move up for him. If I was picking third – and there was a great left tackle available, by all means, I would take him. I would not go out of my way to take a left tackle.
Really?
In my opinion, they're not difference makers. And the only way I move up is to get a difference maker.
I don't know. It's almost like left tackle. If you have him, it's like having a shutdown corner. You just don't have to worry about that side.
That's somewhat true, but I would just say I've seen a ton of success here with an okay left tackle. I've seen this team dominate a generation with an okay left tackle.
They won their Super Bowls, by the way, with okay players at all of the positions.
No, I know, but
on the front line. Greg Robinson, Randall.
I think a shutdown, if you have Darrell Revis, to me, that's you win.
Oh, absolutely.
I think it's light years ahead of a left tackle. Light years.
That I move up for.
And
that's a difference
maker. I think if you have the edge rusher, Jared Allen.
Yeah.
Don't tell me Jimmy Kennedy's all that good. The reason Jimmy Kennedy's good is because of the Jared Allen.
How about Ray Edwards the other day?
And Ray Edwards.
Ray Edwards looked like he was a man possessed in that. He's a starter. I know. He's a better
Jimmy
player.
Kennedy
than Jimmy
Kennedy busted out of the league, but is now making plays because the guys around him are good.
Jimmy Kennedy
that's
looked
what
so
Jared
good
Allen,
in that game.
I ripped the Vikings for trading for him, but he's been everything that they thought he was when they gave up a lot to get him. He has been great for them.
Mm-hmm. Jimmy Kennedy was so good in that game that I thought it was a different Jimmy Kennedy.
No, he's just...
By the way,
like it's a different Joe Kennedy.
Revis has called Randy Moss a slouch.
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
He also called T.O. a slouch.
But you know what?
There's no description.
if Revis says it, you know, you can't argue with this guy right now. He is the top cornerback in the league.
Plus, it's personal.
Yeah,
I don't think he would have said that if they had given him an ounce of respect over the course of the
season. You know what's funny
is
they gave
him less than zero. All they said is he had safety help over the top all the time, and then at the end of a game they try to embarrass him by going deep on him.
You know what?
If they had shown one speck of respect for him, he wouldn't have done that.
It's one of the rare times when the Patriots talking actually worked against them. They almost never say anything. There was a story, I think, in Sports Illustrated last week about Revis, and they talked about him. He's not one of those typical corners with bravado. He doesn't talk trash. He doesn't say really a whole lot. Even receivers that he has shut down have talked, which were quoted in this story, and they were saying how he doesn't really say a whole lot during the course of the game. He just
which
gets
is
up
how
and
it should
goes
be.
Back.
That's how it should be.
Stop it, Norman Rockwell. I mean, that's not the way life is. Guys talk. He doesn't. He does it a different way.
Norman Rockwell. Wow.
There's a little animosity over in that area today between Paul and the 2010 thing, 2010.
I was just busting
you know, there's a little something going on
he
there.
He always corrects my grammar.
The bald boys are about to brawl.
He's not quite bald yet, but we're getting there.
But what are you looking at?
Anyway,
I think that Revis would not have said that. He would not have said anything like that. That's out of character for him. But I think the fact that the Patriots were so disrespectful toward him.
I also don't really know what it means.
Slouch?
Well, I don't know what it is either.
Lazy.
But
he's no slouch.
There's always that he's good. He's no slouch now. I don't know what a slouch is.
A slouch, is that what he's doing there?
Yeah.
Because I also think of slouch as like the verb is you're kind of like.
Slouched over.
Yeah.
It's kind of lazy.
But when you're sulking, you slouch. And if he thought he sulked against him this year, I really don't know exactly what it meant.
If it's particularly meant to be lazy, I think that's an apt description of
Randy
Moss.
It's not as good as you should be.
But he also called T.O. a slouch.
Right.
And I don't think you ever call T.O. was never lazy. That's not one thing. His issues are separate from Moss's.
These guys don't have the command of the English language like Eric does, so let's give him a little break, a little slack.
Is that a V-neck?
Let's give the slack on the slouch.
That's funny, though. That it's like saying, you know, when something's disconcerting, it's bad.
It's concerning.
It's very concerning. You brought that up.
Yeah, that was really interesting.
Argyle V-neck, right?
Yeah, nobody cares.
You have matching socks?
They all care.
No.
They all care.
Orange, I like.
You should have matching socks.
No, don't.
Underwear?
No Argyle socks.
So it's a
very October sweater.
Yes, I was going to say fall, autumn. You know?
Autumn glam.
Looks like you should rise out of the pumpkin patch with it.
Rising from the ashes.
All right,
a lot of emails.
Yeah,
a lot of emails.
53 players will be entering the draft as underclassmen, according
So you could pick an entire team.
According to your belch.
Now, is that official or not official? Because the unofficial list has been out.
The NFL has announced names.
I want
of the 53
one for the
players who have
media.
Been granted early eligibility.
Did you get that
for
from the dot com?
This is from the Pro Football Talk.
Oh, so it might be right then.
Obviously, Jimmy Clausen, Sam Bradford, guys that you figured.
Obviously, Fred Kurtz.
I didn't figure Aaron Hernandez, the tight end from Florida, would, but he did.
I'll give you $100 right now if you could tell me what number he is.
Golden Tate, what?
$100 right now. What number is he?
He's 14.
All right.
Golden Tate, Notre Dame.
8.
What number is he? You saw Notre Dame play every week. Come on.
8.
Come on.
13?
God. 23. I'll give you
8. I knew there was a 3 in there.
Golden Tate, interested first round, 22.
No.
Okay.
Nope.
I like him.
I like Golden Tate.
Yeah. I do too, and I think he's going
to
be
a
mid-first round pick.
To me, his legs are too thin for the NFL.
What? Have you seen Randy Moss?
No, he's not. Golden Tate is a running back, isn't he?
He's a wide receiver.
Is he?
Yes.
Caught 175 passes.
Unbelievable to me.
Then I definitely don't want him. He's too small.
What are you talking
about?
He doesn't know. Cool.
Stop reading them.
Des Bryant.
Gallery and Long, they were.
Your guy, by the way, is available. Toby Gerhart.
Is he on this list? Oh, he already declared, right?
He will be.
So he should be on that list.
A good fullback. Doing some research. Did you know he's a baseball player?
Unless he changed his mind, he's not on that list.
No, he's on the list.
Oh, he is not on this list. It's in alphabetical order.
Well, the list is wrong.
The list is wrong.
The list is already wrong.
Yeah.
He's in the draft.
He entered the draft officially the other day.
Well, maybe he's not. Wait a minute. Here's the thing.
He's like a fourth year.
Yes, he might not be considered an early entrant. He had a fifth
year. But usually they put will not seek. extra year.
That's
or
true. The way the headlines were written, it made it sound like
that was the scroll for him was that he will not seek his fifth year. But maybe that doesn't include him on that list.
But Fred, you'll be all set with
him. But you'll have your little slug of a running back.
He's a baseball player. He's never worked out in the offseason, never put on size, so he can bulk up and
so
be
he
a
can
real
learn
fullback.
Size at the NFL level.
He will. And if you take him in the fourth round, you'll probably be happy.
That's always going to be one of my favorite ones.
Well, yeah. Didn't really work out for
Jevon
Ains
Sneed
Adams.
From Mississippi coming out.
Good. KP.
No.
Can't play.
Yeah.
No good.
Sam Bradford.
Yeah, they were
going, $1,000 if you
they were
tell
going
me
over the
is.
Top quarterbacks.
Sam Bradford.
Well, after Will Sam Bradford and Jimmy Clausen, now Jimmy Tebow. Clausen. But after it goes, there's a big drop off. There's not a lot. It's not a
not
deep
a good
quarterback
draft.
No.
And I wouldn't even include Tebow in the conversation.
No, I wouldn't. That's why I'm saying he's fourth round, whatever.
I think Bradford is, assuming he's not damaged goods, I don't know what the exact shoulder diagnosis still is, whatever. I still say he is, of the Brady, Manning, Rivers, I'll include now, he's going to be a top five quarterback in the National Football League.
All right, webradio@patriots.com is the email address, 508-543-7482.
You got to give Andy credit for that, Freddie. He doesn't give you, I don't know, he's all right.
We'll
he's,
take a quick
break. It's often right,
definitive
unlike
opinions.
Other people who were definitive.
We'll take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Big Al on the phone.
Just found out American Airlines flies to more than 250 cities in 40 countries. That's a lot of flying. So basically, that's 250 different things that I can put on my out-of-office auto reply. Why, I could say, island hopping in Hawaii, returning Friday. This is going to be fun. Better yet, swimming with whale sharks in Cancun back on... Wait, that sounds dangerous. Oh, I know. How about samba dancing in Rio back on Monday? Wish you were here. Well, not really. But with flights to over 250 cities in 40 countries, it's easy to get wherever I want to go on American. Even if it just happens to be sales meeting in Des Moines back tomorrow.
What will you put on your out-of-office reply? 250 cities, 40 countries, unlimited possibilities. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
It's Dad. I heard you won Patriot season tickets for life. Maybe we could grab a game together.
Who's this again?
It's Dad.
What kind of joke is this? You're not my dad.
No, I'm pretty sure I'm your dad.
Yeah, third one today. Okay, Dad, tell me, when's my birthday?
Oh, come on, Bri. You won Patriot season tickets for life. And you want to talk about your birthday?
I'm hanging up.
Don't hang up on your father.
Oh, yeah. They'll be coming out of the woodwork once they find out you won season tickets for life on a New England Patriots instant game. You could also win $1 million instantly, plus a boatload of other great prizes.
I could do one of those quick adoptions. We could go to the game together and talk about the old days.
We don't have old days.
Good point.
Bye, Daddy.
Pick up the new Patriots instant game from the Mass State Lottery, masslottery.com.
50 seasons of New England Patriots football, 3 Super Bowl championships, endless memories.
It's good! It's good!
Live them all at the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon. Celebrate the greatest players, moments, and teams in Patriots history with sights and sounds that put you right in the action. Step inside the huddle as Tom Brady calls the plays. Go under the hood and review controversial calls just like a replay official. Learn the playbook from head coach Bill Belichick. Take your best shot at a game-winning field goal in the snow and let the confetti rain down while you gaze at the Patriots' 3 Vince Lombardi trophies.
Back to back, 3 out of 4.
Yes, it's a dynasty. And don't miss the 30-foot-high displays honoring the team's greatest players or the signature film showing the history of football in New England. The Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, is located next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, Mass. And is open 7 days a week. Call 508-698-4800 for more information or go online to thehall@patriotplace.com. The Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon. An unforgettable, exciting, interactive experience.
Here's what PFW in Progress would sound like if we had a bleep button.
They were flexible.
That's probably where we philosophically disagree. I think 2007 they said we had a team in...
He did it again!
That's unbelievable. We had a bad team in 06 that overachieved and we had to do something different. Wow. That's what I think. Again,
with you, buddy.
I don't know. I'm having an out-of-body experience. I really, really apologize. That's twice in 2 weeks. This is what Fred does to me.
What is wrong with you?
I'm sorry. I don't know. I'm sorry.
Come on, guys. You know you can't say on Patriots.com radio, and you call yourselves professionals.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress, 508-543-7482. Web radio at Patriots.com is the email address. On the phone, Big Al from Georgia. Hey, Big Al.
Hey, Fred, first of all, don't sell yourself short. You're a tremendous slouch.
That's right.
Just to wrap up this past weekend, fellas, you know, I don't – you're talking to a man that does not bet football. I've been watching games almost 45 years, and I don't bet football games except very, very rarely. I'm not in any fantasy leagues. But every once in a while a game comes along, and you just know that this is a chance to go to the bank. So when I heard that the Arizona Cardinals had intended to start Monty Beisel as one of their linebackers Saturday night, I'll just say that I knew what to do immediately.
You know, Al, that is the funniest thing that you would say that, because I was watching the TV and I'm like, how could I ever pick the Cardinals? They have Monty Beisel playing linebacker.
Yeah.
Right there. They're out.
Yeah.
Well,
his face?
Speaking
of
TVs, Fred, if I may, forgive me for interrupting, but you rang the bell. Speaking of TVs, I want to thank Monty Beisel and the Cardinals for my new 48-inch high-definition flat screen, which came about as a result of Saturday night's game. And the place, because I paid cash, the place even threw in a free Blu-ray player. Now, I don't know how the hell I'm supposed to use. One of you goofy kids is going to have to teach me how I'm supposed to use the damn thing.
Sweet.
I don't own any Blu-ray discs, but the guy was, he threw it in. So what am I supposed to do? Say no?
No, hell no.
Of course not.
I always thought Blu-ray was this guy that did porno named Ray.
That's could be. Whoever that is, I've now got this stuff thanks to Monty Beisel and the Cardinals. So speaking of free agent busts, the free agent period, of course, is coming up, and it just seems like all of a sudden we've got, rightly or wrongly, I guess my perception is we've got all these needs all of a sudden. Who do you think that and which positions do you think we're looking at primarily?
I don't really think it's all of a sudden, Al. I think it's the same kind of needs we've had since last offseason.
Okay.
Certainly the main one, the pass rush.
Pass rush.
We talked about it all last year.
Maybe some help
you
in the secondary.
You were very much out front about that, Al, too. I remember on draft day you were really sort of wondering what Bill was thinking with the linebacker situation.
The linebackers are right there.
A lot of them played well.
Right there like fish in a barrel, and we just, let them float on by.
Yeah. I remember that conversation with you, and a lot of the guys that you talked about specifically had very good seasons.
I mean, it's pass rush is the number one, obviously, but I think you still need some help in the secondary. You definitely need depth and experience and help and talent at wide receiver.
Depth, experience, help, talent.
Well, seriously, wide receiver, you need that.
Yep.
And
I agree.
You could use an upgrade or two at tight end, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I mean, there's just a
running
lot
backs
of
are getting
like
old.
I say, all of a sudden, I don't know, it's like you got to make a list and make your top five priorities almost.
The trouble
again,
is,
if you want to go back to last year, Paul, thanks for teeing that up. I remember, I think I was the only one. Now, correct me if I'm wrong.
You're wrong.
Because I've been wrong many, many times. But I believe I was the only one that called this show that said trade Brady before the draft.
Yeah, you're not the only one.
You're wrong about that. But
well, you guys didn't really disagree with me in concept. I think you disagreed. I picked out, I said the two number ones and Ernie Sims, and you kind of quibbled about Ernie Sims. But you didn't dismiss the whole thought of trading Brady at that time.
Oh, I would trade him, and I think we talked about this. Someone said,
ones, two twos. There was a
king's ransom, and I would trade him for that.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's not like
I wouldn't trade him for anything.
You can say that if you draft in the top five, you're taking a chance, and that's true. And any position can be a bust, like you said before. That's absolutely true. I think the Rams did well with Orlando Pace, and maybe they thought they were drafting the next Orlando Pace, and maybe that didn't work out.
Right.
But normally it's been the quarterbacks that have been the big busts, the Russells, the Ryan Leafs, the Joey Harrington from
Detroit.
They're
the higher-profile busts.
Absolutely.
Because
they're often the number one pick.
Right.
We wouldn't have had to draft a quarterback. I think Matt Castle would have been.
How many people, honestly, during the course of his senior year, knew who Orlando Pace was?
I knew who he was.
I think a decent number.
He casual was pretty, fan?
Casual football fan. A guy who watched Saturday football would.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well. Because you remember I the whole shtick? Because I didn't know who he was.
They
I
invented the stat for him. They were the first to use the term "pancake block."
Yeah, I didn't realize that until the draft process.
Oh, yeah,
and that's when he emerged as the number one pick.
I remember hearing about him.
You know, and I would say, you know, similar to all these guys, you know, maybe of Jake Long, but you don't know Jake Long until he's getting drafted. And,
right.
and that's and the quarterbacks. You know the quarterbacks from the Jimmy Clausen was a household name when he was still in high school.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, so when these guys become number one picks, they bust out hard when they lose, when they don't, you know, when it's Jamarcus Russell and Joey Harrington.
Speaking
and those
of that,
guys.
Did you catch the punt, pass, and kick winners?
Yeah.
The last kid, Kelly.
Yeah.
That's Jim Kelly's nephew. He's 15 years old. He's already been recruited by four major colleges, like Ohio State. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, you were talking about Tim Tebow before. Believe me, I live right here on the line with Florida. We have a lot of Florida fans in this part of the state, even though it's in Georgia. We're just over the border, and he has definitely been elevated to sainthood. I mean, it's like what the Bruins fans did years ago with Bobby Orr. I mean, he's just achieved an incredible status. And there is some chatter around here that people hope that he ends up with the Patriots because that you know, Belichick would know how to use him correctly and, you know, that type of thing.
I might have to end it all if that happens.
Well, I'm fine with it as a fourth-round pick. I'm fine with that. Just nothing high.
What, I don't want any part of him. Jacksonville's?
Especially if he brings that girl from the photo with him.
Yeah, which
I just think he gets in here and he becomes a sideshow. You know, it's like, what are you doing with him? When are you going to use him? And you're going to have all these fans that can't wait to get him on the field. Just, you know, Brady could be putting up, you know, amazing number. But what about Tim Tebow? You know, it's just you don't
see,
know.
I don't,
it's a sideshow.
I hear what you're saying, but I don't think because he wouldn't be a local kid in New England, I don't think there'd be, if he was Doug Flutie, there'd be a lot of that chatter. But I don't think you'd have that kind of pressure from the outside in.
Well, I don't know.
Tim Tebow.
You might be right about that. I remember a long time ago, I was talking to Ray Flynn, who used to be the mayor of Boston. Get the horn. He was saying that when he was to be drafted, Auerbach didn't take him and told him to his face, if I take you, the fans will be clamoring to get you, you know, on the court.
He got cut. Yeah. He was the last cut. And they cut him because of that.
Yeah.
Well, along those same lines, though, if you're desperate, you're desperate. The Jacksonville Jaguars take him because they're that desperate to put meat in the seats.
Yes,
but
that would
make
sense for them, though.
I'll tell you this. If we go on through another draft and we don't draft a linebacker on day one, I'm getting Jaguars season tickets.
Wow.
You'll get a good deal on them.
Well, you'll get to watch Tim Tebow. Don't they want him down there?
Well, that's what I was saying. They've done a lot of economic studies as to what he could do for the franchise if they
take it, say,
the Jaguars.
Oh, the Jaguars.
Focus.
All right.
Yeah, I'm only about a couple
hours
away. I
thought Big Al was from Georgia.
He is.
Yes,
he just said
right
he lives
the
on the
line.
You don't listen to anyone, do you, except yourself?
He never listens to me and you. We know that.
No, listen, you know, that's okay. I'm used to being ignored. So that's okay.
Join the club.
All right, Joe. Thanks for calling.
Take care. And once again, thank you, Monty Beisel, wherever you are.
No, you know, it's.
Thanks, Al.
I swear to God, what Al was saying, it's true. I was watching TV, and it's like, Monty, how could I even think Arizona had a chance?
I saw the same thing. I saw it when they had the, you know, the headshots come up on Fox down the bottom. And I saw him, and I was like, he doesn't start. And then they said he's filling in for Gerald Hayes. And I
forgot
like,
he was even in the
tough.
League.
Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Mark from Cheddar writes in, hey, guys, and Fred, because he's a homer. 12 months ago, I emailed in complaining about how an MVP who is an offensive player does not win the Offensive Player of the Year award, and you shot me down, saying it is how it works and it is fine.
Yeah,
and then last
you shot him down.
Right. And then last week you said it is a load of rubbish. I mean, to quote Chris with a T-I-A-N,
what the fuck?
Right. Glad you have come to my way of thinking. Okay.
Let that go. I think he was going to say it.
Now on to the subject of the email. Given this past season and how the team appears to be heading, does this change anyone's view on the great debate? 19-0 and Brady retires or Brady for 10 more years? Does the decline in talent make you want the 19-0 more, or do the Colts and the Saints going close this year and the Colts not caring lessen the 19-0 debate and make you go for Brady?
That doesn't change my opinion. I still want that 19-0.
And Fred? I still want Brady.
I still 19-0, no
doubt
about
it. I'm still quite indifferent.
More than ever.
I still want Brady leading the comebacks over the Bills so I actually make the playoffs.
I'm going to try from now on to keep track of things that I really don't passionately care about one way or the other. That's a very short list.
And Mark also says, now I would like to start this email by saying that I think Bill Belichick, Patriots head coach, is the best coach ever. And I want to keep him as coach. But nothing. He is the best coach ever. That is all.
Wow.
There you go. So that's Mark from Cheddar. No, I had 19-0 more than ever.
Right.
Life would be different.
Oh, yeah.
We had won that game.
Maybe if you'd gotten it, the Colts would have gone for it and equaled it.
So what?
A year later.
So what? We'd have a Super Bowl. At the worst case, we got a Super Bowl. That's not bad either.
My worst case, I have Brady for the next, well, assuming they re-sign him, next 6 years.
But you're seeing what that is, and it's not certain.
It's the number three seed in the AFC.
It's not a
hosting a home playoff game.
What we're
feels
talking
pretty
about,
good.
What
are, I could be Trent Edwards.
I'll remember that.
And what you got in Buffalo? You want to be crapped him?
Let's mark that tape.
Crapped him,
Doc. You know, so the next time that he says, "Oh, you're making a big deal about me, number three seed,"
can we develop a new debate? Because I really want to get involved.
You don't care about that debate.
I see both sides. I honestly think you guys both make good points. It's depressing to me.
All right.
There's no place for both sides in sports talk radio.
No, there's not.
It's Brady, you idiot.
Let's see. I don't want to talk about the Ravens game anymore. Do you guys?
No.
So we just delete
the Patriots Ravens game?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Salim in Virginia, you said that Brady was a flyer pick. I guess that we said that last show. Yeah, I beg to differ.
He was.
I was watching the NFL Network's top 10 draft steals, and Scott Pioli said that Brady was rated higher than where he was picked. Pioli also said that they picked him because he was so much higher rated than everyone left on the list, so they had to pick him.
Yes.
I don't think it is a flyer if he is a highly rated player relative to where he's picked. Oh, and by the way, wasn't Ray Lewis a free agent last year? How great would it have been if the Pats had paid him a crap load of money to come here?
Ray Lewis was indeed a free agent last year. Matter of fact, it looked like he was going to Dallas at some point in the offseason.
And then in year 14, he signed a six-year contract or whatever.
You know, continued to learn power at the NFL level. Brady was more or less a flyer pick. They decided they were going to take a quarterback in that pick. And they asked Dick Rabine. Now, this is a good job of scouting. I think people look at it as, well, you're chalking it up to total luck. It wasn't total luck.
They didn't throw a dart to the board.
No. Yeah. They identified the one quarterback late round that they thought was best. That was Brady. They're to be commended. But when you pick a guy 199th overall, it is not with the intention that he is that much better than his draft spot.
Right.
So we're going to take him. Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. I mean, both can be true. You identified him and did a good job of scouting, but there was a great deal of luck that he turned out to be Tom Brady.
Just like you identified Cliff Kingsbury and you identified
the six
other guys they've
Rohan
taken.
Davey.
Rohan Davey. Yep. You identified him much higher. And he was terrible. He never developed.
This is interesting. Mike St. Ung sends it to us from the Wall Street Journal. According to Wall Street Journal's study of four recent broadcasts and similar estimates by researchers, the average amount of time the ball is in play on the field during an NFL game is about 11 minutes. In other words, if you tally up everything that happens between the time the ball is snapped and the play is whistled dead by the officials, there's barely enough time to prepare a hard-boiled egg. In fact, the average telecast devotes 56% more time to showing replays. So what do the networks do with the other 174 minutes in a typical broadcast? Not surprisingly, commercials take up about an hour. As many as 75 minutes, or about 60% of the total airtime, excluding commercials, is spent on shots of players huddling, standing at the line of scrimmage, or just generally milling about between snaps.
Yeah, I saw that in one of the magazines. I can't remember if it was ESPN or Sports Illustrated about a month ago, and it said that's the least amount of time that the ball's in play of the four major sports.
Wow.
Right, but I mean, we kind of always knew that. It was always the argument of the soccer people. You guys play for like 6 seconds at a time and then take a break.
Right.
I mean, it was always the
soccer, the ball's in play the entire game.
And it's boring. The ball's always in play and it's always boring. In football, it's never in play and it's always exciting.
Well, I remember.
Son of a bitch.
Wow. I remember years ago.
Andy Hart, riled
talking,
up.
Talking fast again.
Years,
you know what I mean?
Years ago, back in the old Foxborough Stadium time, I wrote an edit letter about, because it was right after a game where our team just looked tired, especially our offensive line. And so I did a similar thing. I kind of, in my own mind, said how long an offensive lineman is actually working at his job, you know, and I came up with, you know, more than 11 minutes, but not much more. And, you know, so there should be no excuse for a guy to be tired, you know. So that the next day or the next week, I was in the locker room. This is back when I did
the
your
offensive
guy's,
line
this is,
huddled around.
Well, this
Fred.
Is when I did your guy's job, and I'm at Bruce Armstrong's locker.
Oh, that must have gone
and
well.
I'm next
he
to
was
him
such
with,
a touchy
I'm next to him
guy.
In the microphone, and he's like, well, you know, we were out there doing this, and we were tired, and he looks at me. It's like, okay.
You're like, oh, Bruce, thanks
but,
for reading.
But the thing about it is when you're that big and you're in that hand-to-hand combat, it is tiring.
Right.
You know?
It's just like it doesn't yeah. sound like, you know, you see a guy in the gym hitting the heavy bag and you're like, he
right.
only did it for 2 minutes.
Right.
You go try to do it for 30 seconds and tell me if you're still
right.
standing.
Yeah, try to do 3 minutes of boxing.
Yeah, it's
yeah.
ridiculous.
You know, yeah.
It sounds like nothing, but it's ridiculous.
And it looks like
yeah.
nothing on TV because it looks like right. they're just trying to, like,
yeah.
But you're exerting
slowly,
all
but...
your energy, speed, strength, everything, quickness, all at once in bursts.
Right.
And you also happen to weigh
right.
375
and
pounds.
And the guy doing it against you
right.
is that too.
Right. It's,
you know?
That's why it's hard.
Let's see. Gary writes in.
What's up, G?
And he's from Virginia Beach, Virginia. He says, going back to the Spygate days, prior to the Pats getting fined, the use of video on the sidelines by teams had been an increasing trend, and the NFL needed regulation to keep it in check. After comments made from the Baltimore game, were the Ravens really that good in game planning, or were those ever-present conical sound devices on the field being used against us over time? Maybe far-fetched, maybe not. I would be interested to know what the NFL's position is on this and whether it is one of interest for the NFL going forward. Technology being what it is, I see the threat very real and very doable. In other words, just not necessarily videotaping, but recording the sound.
You're not allowed to record anything.
No, you're not.
I believe any recording
There's
device.
There's no listening or
right.
viewing devices
it's
allowed.
All
you all right there?
What happened?
Andy there? Just vomited in his mouth.
Just basically. just like Fred.
Oh, God.
But yeah, you can't do any of that.
No, not even sure what the question was.
So do you think that there's a lot of stuff going on that we don't know about
yes.
still?
Well, yeah. Yeah, I think
that the Ravens used the sounds
yeah.
to their advantage
yeah.
to call out the Patriots plays.
Yeah, they said they knew all the audibles from TV. That's what Ray Lewis said.
Yeah, I don't.
They may have watched.
I thought
know,
they said that they knew them all from the first time they played, but I didn't see the quote, so yeah. I can't tell you that for sure. I thought that's what was said, but
do I think that's why they won? No. Do I think all that stuff happens? Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's a lot of cheating going on.
Yeah, I'm sure that. Well, never mind.
As Bobby Heenan and LaDainian Tomlinson once said, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying.
Joe in Canton writes in. He's a first-time listener, a long-time listener, first-time emailer. You guys do a great job. I had a couple of questions for you guys about personnel people in the draft. One, I was reading The Blueprint last night. That's Christopher Price's book?
Indeed,
yes. Right?
I believe that's the case.
And there was a quote in there about how Belichick said that he needed a right-hand man for scouting and other personal matters because he could not do it all himself. Since Pioli has left, do you think that Reese or Caserio has the same influence on Bill that Pioli had?
No.
Mm-hmm. No.
Now, why do you say that?
Because it's going to take time before he develops right. the same kind of, you know, rapport with a new guy that
yeah.
he had with Pioli for 8 years or
right.
9 years, mm-hmm. whatever it was.
But when
it's
Pioli first started, he wasn't, you know, in the same level of influence as when he ended up, right? Wasn't he
that's,
just a...
That's Paul's point, I think.
Right.
It
yeah.
takes time.
Yeah.
And Pioli had that time. Casario you can't
to
expect
the same
these two
level.
Guys to have
right.
that same level after year one.
You need to fail. You need to
together.
Succeed. You need to... And I'm talking throughout the year, not just draft day. When Bill... What was that story when he wanted him to get him a tight end in the middle of the year
yep.
and... Jesus, I'll just do it myself, whatever. You need to go through all those trials, those hurdles, and get used to the comfort of going through those things to build a relationship.
And I would also say that it's not helping matters that Caserio is asked to do so much more. You know, he's on the
yeah.
field every day coaching.
Yeah, Pioli wasn't
you know,
coaching.
I don't...
He's just on the field.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know
walking
how that
with
helps.
His chest held high.
Let's see. Pretty now, like I guess Joe's been doing a lot of reading. In Patriot Reign, there was talk about how in the 2003 draft, Bill wanted to take chances on some guys who could be considered risks. Pioli talked him out of those picks, and they had one of their best drafts that year. Is there anyone in the organization who can tell Bill that this guy is not a good idea and at least get him to reconsider the pick?
Yeah,
well,
Andy.
Well, I try to tell him. He never listens. But that gets back to the
question
in the press conference
yes.
about basically yes men and mm-hmm. people willing to challenge him and where that stands right now. I don't know. I would assume Floyd Reese challenges him because they've been working together, not here, but for 30 plus
years. Yeah, they're contemporaries. And
they go back to when they were both Jags in a room
right.
at the Lions. So I would assume he can challenge him, but I don't know.
See, I wonder, though,
level.
Because, look, this isn't – I'm not trying to, you know, take a cheap shot at our coaching staff, but they're nothing if they're not paranoid, okay? They're very paranoid about information leaking out. And they're very protective of information, as well they should be. But I think compared to a lot of teams, they go to greater lengths to protect information. When you get a guy like Floyd Reese in there, you're kind of figuring, unless we're going to give him a contract long term, he's leaving eventually. If not 1 year, like he almost did this year, 2 years. So how much of the info do we give him? You know, I worry about that.
I see what you're saying.
You know what I'm saying? Is he
but he's
really
not a coach.
He's not a coach, but he has access to how they think when it comes to the draft and scouting.
Right.
You know? And so how much do you trust this guy to, like, be in on everything if you know, hey, next year he's going to go?
Or if I hire him, I trust him. If I don't trust him, I don't hire him.
I understand exactly what you're saying, but I don't know how you can bring him in if you
Yeah, I guess.
How does he
you
help you?
You don't tie your own hands by doing something.
Yeah, how
like
does
that.
He help you if you don't allow him any
but
of the information?
But I heard them talking about this on the – you know, the information is one thing, but there's certain things that – Belichick, you know, maybe thinking that he just doesn't let people in on, you know, why he's thinking a certain way.
I think that's always true.
You know, and
I think the only guy that is always in is Ernie Adams.
But I think Pioli might be the guy that did know. They were really
maybe.
In lockstep.
Maybe towards the end.
You know, he
probably
developed
not.
It. Yeah. And he came to a level of trust that he knew that, Scott's going to move on someday, but we've worked together for so long that – he would never betray me, and I'll never betray him.
Mm-hmm. What I'd like to know about that specific example they used about 2003, who were the guys that, the risky guys, quote-unquote, that Bill was interested in?
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
We know who they took, but we don't know who
they didn't take. Mm-hmm. Maybe those guys are great.
Right.
Okay.
We don't know who they didn't take. We kind of do.
So
everybody
Paul,
that they didn't.
Paul's saying
that's
that.
True. We do
all
have
right,
everyone.
I'm going to pick out seven guys that have been
that
you
were
know,
great
right.
from the 2003 draft.
Yeah, I mean, I would imagine in everybody's draft, and all draft boards do basically the same thing. They have different codes for guys. Some are medical risks. Some are off-field risks. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm sure every team has guys that have those codes next to them that they're still interested in, but the value goes down because of that. So, like Paul said, that's probably true of every team, that they were interested in risky players. Who were they?
Right.
That's the information we want.
You know, but I also don't think you just brought up Floyd Reese. I don't think he knows everything that the Patriots do. I think a lot of people in this league know everything, basically what they do, their scouting philosophy, their Bible, the way they do it. The difference is what they do with those things. If a guy has an off-field risk, do we move him down 2 slots or 5 slots? And that's where Bill Belichick comes in. You make a decision.
Right.
You weigh it. But that's not something that can be stolen unless you steal Bill.
Right.
Well, it's not like
a new movie.
The guy
steal Bill.
It's not like there's a formula.
Well,
that seven arrests equals downgrade a guy 7 slots.
But you can't
it's
know,
what Bill thinks the guy has in his heart.
But you can know Bill well enough if you're on another team where you can say, we all know this guy's off-field risk. Belichick will never take him at that spot.
Right.
And
I think
Mangini
knows
guess.
That. I think McDaniels knows that. I think Ozzie Newsome knows that. I think any number of guys. Pioli knows that.
Parcells.
I mean, Parcells. That's 6 teams or whatever that are you know have a good feeling of what you're doing.
I just wonder.
I just don't see how it benefits you to bring a guy in and not give him all of the information.
Right.
Yeah. Well, it's now, a need not, to know. Here's what you need to do to do your job.
If Floyd Reese is indeed involved in the scouting and preparation for the draft,
kind of need to know everything.
That's need to know for him.
Yeah.
Now,
like
if it's Casario and Reese is more of a contractual guy,
right.
which we all thought last year, then he doesn't need to know.
Yeah, we don't know exactly
I have no
what
idea.
He does.
But
he's
he needs
consultant.
To know. He needs to know all your financial
right.
wherewithal and your value
sure.
system and,
right. yeah.
and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So either way, he's going to know something that you don't want him to know if he leaves.
Right.
I want to get back to Eric. You were going down the list of needs heading into the draft.
Everything he said.
Well,
help, but talent.
I was talking about a wide receiver.
I know.
I think it's hard because, correct me if I'm wrong, you need top-end talent at a lot of spots.
Yeah.
Like, in the secondary, I think they're pretty good. Do I think they need a game-changer? Yes.
Yeah.
I think they need
you
a shutdown
Darrell
corner.
You put Darrell Revis in that secondary, and you got a great secondary.
I think at linebacker, you're pretty good if you have Julius Peppers playing next to the rest of those guys. At wide receiver, you need – but running back,
You have a good committee. It's good enough, sure, probably, if they stay healthy.
But if you have
you need a top-end guy.
Yeah.
And those are the hardest guys to get. So, to me, this is a tough draft for them because
you
can only target the top something.
Sure.
You can't target the top corner, the top pass rusher, the top running back, and the top offensive lineman. You can only target one of them.
Which is why those years when they had two first-round picks would have been so valuable, because then they could have potentially gotten two of those guys.
Or the years when they took guys and they, I mean, we'll get back to it ad nauseum, but if Lawrence Maroney was who he was supposed to be and Chad Jackson was who he was supposed to be, that receiver position and the running back position would look very different. Now you're only looking for the shutdown corner. Well, if you signed Sante Samuel, you wouldn't be looking for the shutdown corner. Right. You'd only be looking for the pass rusher.
Actually, you and I were talking about this yesterday.
Look, how many years did
speeding
we go
up a little? Sorry.
How many seasons have we started lately saying, well, defensive line's all taken care of? I mean, that's because they hit on those guys.
Except for this year when they chose not to take care of it by trading a guy away.
Andy and I were talking about this exact thing yesterday, and we were saying, we were talking about Darrell Revis in particular, and we were saying, remember how all the buzz was that the Patriots wanted Darrell Revis, and the Jets moved up ahead of them to get him, because when Mangini was still there, and he probably had a feeling that they were trying to covet him.
Yeah.
If they had held on to Samuel and were able to draft Revis,
Turn out the lights, the show is over.
You wouldn't be having any problems.
Go back and look at some of that
with
stuff.
The secondary.
Wow.
Also, this segues nicely into, while we've been trading down and letting guys go, the Jets have been trading up and signing guys. Mm-hmm. And on the blog, there's a lot of chatter, a lot of comments, very passionate argument going on as to whether the Jets could now
be you definitely,
the team to beat.
You stirred the pot this morning.
He did.
That's right. PFW blogger Andy Hart.
Why don't you talk about that entry?
Well, I basically just posed it as a question with, looking at the Jets.
A little bit more of a question, I thought.
That's not what Pro Football Talk said.
That's not what Pro Football
He's wearing a green shirt, by the way.
That's true. I am.
Oh.
But it wasn't based, and this was, there was some confusion in the comments. It wasn't because they won on Sunday. I'm talking about look at the Jets. Either way, whether they lost Sunday or won Sunday, they were going to be a playoff competitor next year. They have a quarterback who they drafted, number five, who's got a year under his belt. They have a running back that they drafted. Was it a first-round pick? Did they have two first-round picks?
Sean Green?
Yeah. Or was he in the second?
I think he was
second. I believe
second.
He was a second.
But they
round,
have a young
third,
first
round
caliber running back making plays to go along with the guy who's rushed for 1,300 yards for three or four straight years. They went and got the receiver they wanted.
That's last
who
year.
Dropped some balls, but whatever. They have an offensive line where they drafted a left tackle and a center, so they have a young offensive line. David Harris is young. They have Darrell Revis is young. They have the makings to be a franchise that's going to be not only good now. Oh, by the way, they added a coach who they think is apparently the coach. They have the foundation of what could be a franchise for 5 years that you need to worry about, and I just wonder if they're sitting a little bit better off looking 5 years down the road than the Patriots.
Drafted third round, 65th overall.
Yeah, I thought it was third because I remember it was the first pick of the second day. They traded up for that first pick of the second day. But
Mike Tannenbaum's right to latch that Golston pick onto Mangini because other than that, he's drafted pretty well.
Well, the thing I wanted to bring up is the Golston pick, and I think that a lot of people say, you see, that's why you don't trade up. And I look at it and say they've been consistently aggressive in targeting players, and that's the one guy they missed on.
Right.
They traded up for a lot of guys that you just mentioned, and Golston's really the only but it's proof that even if you miss it, it's not a disaster. It's not the end of the world.
How's that list coming for?
Of the misses, I'll get them.
Not of the misses.
What?
What?
The salary cap hells.
Casualty.
Oh, I'll get you that.
Give me the list of the teams that had to cut
11
guys. The
list will be out in September, Jose Canseco Jr. says.
Hold your breath now.
Yeah, and I'll be dead.
Everything Jose said was true.
But, Fred, are you worried that the Jets are better set for the near future than you are?
Yes.
Wow.
That's telling.
That's a damning
admission.
Well, I said
is that
they,
just your I'm emotions making, talking
I'm not
right
making
now,
fun.
Though,
I, look, I Fred, said, I'm not what, making fun
I,
of you.
I said when they drafted Sanchez, I think he's going to be good.
But the worst yet, he doesn't even have to be good. He has to be okay.
Right.
Because they have a great defense.
But I actually think
and
he's
a great
be
running.
Good.
No, yeah. I know. Then you're really – now you're talking about a team that could compete for Super Bowls every year.
If you put Tom Brady
AFCs.
On that team right now, I think they're the prohibitive.
If I'm there,
God, they would kick ass
and
take names.
We talk about like what the Patriots need to do. If I'm the Jets, I'm looking at wide receiver. I'm looking at targets for Sanchez because they're pretty much in good shape everywhere else. You know?
Braylon Edwards.
He stinks.
He does not stink.
I think they need to upgrade the
he's
wide
Ben
receiver
Watson.
Position.
He's athletic, can make plays, but he makes
now,
too many
Now, here's the
drops.
Thing is they have, with all the trading up, they have lost picks
right?
To do that. So I don't know how many picks they have moving forward and what they have set up. You know, I know Patriots fans will probably point to their four, what is it, in the top, how many, 64 or something like that? What do we have coming up?
Four
I actually brought it.
I think.
Four and 53.
So the Jets certainly don't have that luxury. The Patriots do. So you get a situation where you can find maybe a wide receiver, like you said, Fred. You know, maybe another safety or a corner, you know, another guy to add, because they're going to need depth in that secondary.
And they can't take free agents.
But you can get depth anywhere. You can only get playmakers at the top, theoretically. And but the Patriots need playmakers. The Jets only need depth, so they don't need a lot of resources.
First of all, that whole eight thing is only 1 year, one.
It's for this year. Right,
and they could lose a free agent and sign somebody else.
But don't
too.
They have to lose a guy of equal value?
Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you sign a guy like Jim Leonard. Who do you lose from equal value?
No, but I think
a bag of balls on the end of the bench. I mean, you just need a guy that can help you.
Jim Leonard's not a free agent, though.
No, I'm just saying if you lose a guy, I mean, not everybody that they have is going to be impossible to have equal of value.
Right.
I mean,
no, I'm just saying, but the good guys on the Jets are all wrapped up.
But
they're all signed.
My point is you lose a Donald Strickland, for example. You can sign.
Right.
You know, a Dre Bly. I mean, that's kind of equal value. I mean, you sign a nickel back.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's
we need to get back to that. You are worried that the Jets are better set up than we are.
I think that's a telling comment.
I just wonder if that's Fred's emotions talking
Jets.
Because of what just happened with the loss to the Ravens.
I'm just the high and the low comparison.
I'm just talking personnel. I still think we have the better coach. We have the better quarterback.
Stop. That's the end of the sentence.
That's
the end of what you have better. I don't think you have better wide receivers. Not right now.
Not right now. I do.
You have one who's hurt and one who's...
I'm assuming Walker's not playing.
You have one who's hurt and one who's decided he's not playing anymore.
Not the beginning of the season.
By the time he... I'm with Fred.
By the time he plays, they could be out of it if they don't upgrade wide receiver.
They need serious help quickly.
They need help. Wide receivers.
Yes, I understand this, but I'll take Welker and Moss over... Edwards and...
Yes, I would too in the best of worlds, but we're not talking about the best of worlds right now for the Patriots. Welker is not going to play at the beginning of the season.
I understand
that. And at
the
best, he'll play in week 7.
I understand that, and I think you yelled at me in Houston when I said that, actually. So
I also think
it's good that you came around to my way of thinking.
I also think if you had a quarterback playing better, that Edwards and Kotru would look a lot better.
Yeah,
I don't think Edwards would. I think Edwards would look like Ben Watson.
Edwards has never had
a
good
great
quarterback.
Catch. I know, but I'm talking about balls that hit him in the hands. They're 50-50 to stay in his hands.
I think he would look.
You know who's equally as critical, Eric?
You know the receivers have a lot of balls.
Braylon Edwards' dad has been off quoted about criticizing.
He definitely.
That's right. Yeah.
He definitely has to catch the ball. That is no
question. He can't make the average catch.
Andy was laughing in his cube yesterday.
Yes, he does.
There was a great comment by one of the color guys over the weekend. I don't know if it was Daryl Johnson,
color guy,
or Phil Sims. Guy made a great catch. He goes, "Oh, that's a great snatch."
yeah. I think it was Reggie Wayne.
Yeah.
Dan Dadoff said it. That was very funny. It was a great snatch.
He's German. That might mean something different.
I chuckled to myself.
He might have even said that's a good-looking snatch.
No, he didn't.
I think he might be right.
I turned to Nikki and go, we got to get some radio guys.
Maybe there's a little Fred Kirsch in Jim Nance. I'm
not positive. I think it was the Colts game. It was a quick slant to Reggie Wayne that was out in front of him, and he reached out and caught it. One of those really hands catches.
It was
catches.
Like by him.
Yeah, it was a really good catch. And I think
it wasn't
right,
Reggie
Freddie.
Bush with a good-looking snatch.
It was a really good-looking snatch.
Gustav writes in. He says
Kim Kardashian was at the game.
Oh.
I thought they were done.
They're back together.
They were back when we were in New Orleans.
I saw her on a magazine cover. Ooh, looking good. It was one of those how she lost 20 pounds or
She's
something.
One of those that, depending on what day you catch her, can look remarkably different. Let's put it that way.
I'd probably do her on her bad day.
Well, I didn't say that.
What has she done?
She's one of the Kardashians.
What's she done? Her wife is married to Bruce Jenner. I mean, her mother is married to Bruce Jenner. That's about it.
Her dad was one of OJ's lawyers.
Her dad is Bruce Jenner?
Her stepdad.
Oh.
Her dad,
real dad. Who, by the way, looks like a woman.
Was one of OJ's lawyers.
Bruce Jenner is a freak.
Robert Kardashian.
Bobby. Never heard of him.
Gustav says
never heard of the OJ trial?
I've heard of the OJ trial. I thought it was the other guy.
He had like 10 million lawyers.
Johnny Cochran?
Trial.
Yeah, Johnny Cochran was the big name.
And the
slimy
Effley
white.
Bailey.
Not him.
Flea.
Like the Italian looking greasy guy, kind of. Not Bailey and not Cochran. Who's the other one?
I don't know. Anyway, Gustav is
number three.
That might be
you're thinking of
him?
Robert Kardashian.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You might be thinking of him.
Greasy, tan, dark hair.
That's him.
That could be him.
Then I do know who he is.
You just described half the lawyers in California.
I'm writing from California just to let you know how
Speaking
disappointed
of,
I am.
Lawyer.
By the way,
greasy.
My Patriots team played this past season.
Fred just talks louder to get us to
offensive and defense were horrible disaster. How could you lose to the City with an H, Colts, when winning the game. I mean, this is so pathetic, ridiculous, and disappointed for all the lost games. Tom Brady did not look good most of the season, and the team looked worse. Belichick had a
he didn't look good for
warm,
most of the
shy look.
I just want to say that never has there been a more statistically successful season by a wide receiver and a quarterback combination that's been more ripped than Randy Moss and Tom Brady.
They threw
for 4,500 yards, had 1,300 yards receiving. Right. They both earned Pro Bowl honors, and they both are getting run out of town by their fan base. They both suck. They
Mr. Belichick's attitude is needed on this team. When you walk along the sideline, that's what you are there for, to yell at your player, not just look at them.
Off.
I hope next season will be a lot better. Lots of improvement is needed offensively and defensively. Sorry to the media center guys, but I needed to get some pressure out of my chest that I held on to all season long.
Who are the media center guys?
I have no idea. He must have yelled at Stacey James and his crew.
Well, unless he's talking about us, because we're in the
media center.
We're at the center
of the media?
No, on the website. Isn't that called the media center, where all of the audio and...
Don't go to the website.
Well, he certainly doesn't have to apologize for yelling at us.
No, we just yell back.
All right, 118. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
So, Pat, what time does our flight get in?
It says here American Airlines Flight 505 gets in at 7:05.
Perfect. Game starts at 7:30. I suppose you know our gate number, too?
Yep. It says so right here on my phone, Brian.
Yeah, you think you know everything because you have one of those smartphones.
What's wrong? You're jealous because I can check AA.com, get flight info, gates and times, pretty much anything flight-related?
I like to keep it simple. You know, that's how I roll. I'm old school. So I travel with one of these.
Brian, that's a cordless phone.
Right. No cord.
From your home.
That's right.
How's that working out for you?
To be honest, the range is somewhat limited. But only when I travel.
Find all the flight info you need for the big game or the big meeting at aa.com/mobile. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Okay, so to recap, these are last year's sales results, and here's how we stand now. I need some clutch players who can get us some numbers up on the board. Ted.
Yes, sir?
In the fourth quarter.
We've
come from behind in the fourth quarter before. Ted.
What?
I need you here in the shotgun. Put on this helmet.
It's a garbage can.
Do it.
But it's dark in here.
Susan!
Yes?
What? You're going to reverse right and then break left at the cubicle.
What?
I am.
Let's go!
Mr. Krevelin?
That was awkward.
Think football? Bank football. Get Patriots banking only from Bank of America. Get the Patriots logo on your checks, debit card, and your Patriots Extra Points credit card. Use Extra Points rewards to get tickets or even stand on the sidelines during pregame warm-ups. Plus, you get a bonus match on your Keep the Change savings. To get Patriots banking, go to a banking center or bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Yes.
What?
Yes.
What?
You can take the trash can off now.
What?
Keep the Change patent pending. Credit card programs are issued and administered by FIA Card Services N.A. Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2009. Bank of America Corporation.
Hello?
Hey, Brian, it's Dad. I heard you won Patriot season tickets for life. Maybe we could grab a game together.
Who's this again?
It's Dad.
What kind of joke is this? You're not my dad.
No, I'm pretty sure I'm your dad.
Yeah, third one today. Okay, Dad, tell me, when's my birthday?
Oh, come on, Bri. You won Patriot season tickets for life. You want to talk about your birthday?
I'm hanging up.
Don't hang up on your father.
Oh, yeah. They'll be coming out of the woodwork once they find out you won season tickets for life on the New England Patriots instant game. You could also win $1 million instantly, plus a boatload of other great prizes.
I could do one of those quick adoptions. We could go to the game together and talk about the old days.
We don't have old days.
Good point.
Bye, Daddy.
Pick up the new Patriots instant game from the Mass State Lottery, masslottery.com.
And now, great moments in PFW in progress history.
When we played at Reliant in the Super Bowl, remember how humid it got
it
at the end of the
really,
game?
Really hot.
It was very humid, and the grass got slippery. Remember
but they
that?
Take that field out now.
In trays.
Yes, they do. But right. It stays out in the parking lot.
But if it goes in moist... It doesn't dry.
You're such a child.
Really? Yeah, I can't help it.
I thought it too. You didn't laugh out loud.
Parts of it will stay hard, and other parts.
Jesus.
The end zones were soggy.
That's another great moment from PFW in Progress.
So nobody's read this bill that was written, by the way, by somebody.
That's right.
Yeah, okay.
So that's what you're telling me. Those people have all read 2000.
Whatever the Ditto Heads tell you to do.
I don't listen to Rush. I don't listen to Rush. I'm here at work
but
every
that's
day.
That's what there is. That's where it comes from. It trickles down from him and guys like Jeff Beck, and then it gets
Glenn
everybody
Beck.
Repeats it. Long enough
that was wrong.
So that they
isn't
think
Jeff
it's
Beck
fat.
Like a musician?
Yeah,
he's Beck.
Are you recording this?
Yeah, you're on the air.
What? I can't hear you.
You're on the
you're
air.
You're on the air.
You have been since you started this bill that nobody wrote.
So that's nobody the guy you like. The guy that just stabs you in the back, you know, is sneaky and puts you on the air when you don't think you're on the air. That's what you're looking for in
I don't
a
think
producer.
You're on the air. He was playing the
you
bumper
saw,
music.
You saw me point,
he
right?
He pointed at you.
And he,
well,
I saw
back
the corner of his
how
eye.
How can I see him?
You turned and looked at
yeah, you looked
glass.
At me and I went like
obviously
that.
Obviously, I didn't see him. Unbelievable.
Let's get back to football.
When in an argument.
It's election day in Massachusetts,
and it's slipping
by the
away,
way, folks.
Obscure reality.
And
all
Paul,
right.
Paul actually voted, though. Momentous day.
It's, no, he didn't.
He said he might vote later.
I might.
I know. I'm trying
and
to
we don't need to talk about stuff thoughts. That we talk about off the air. On
that's
the air.
Off air. This is on air.
Okay, you don't like it when we do the stuff to you. I don't necessarily appreciate you doing it back to me.
Wow. See how you look? It's not nice.
Okay.
We don't like it.
Well, I didn't yell. I didn't storm.
No, you're going the guilt route with
I didn't
him.
Storm.
You'll
off
yell
set.
Later.
You will, yeah. I didn't throw my headphones down and leave.
So you have a free shot at him. Go ahead.
Fold my arms. I just won't talk.
Sean from Hazleton writes in.
That won't last.
I couldn't do that.
You screwed. Puts the mic back.
I'm sorry, Fred.
I thought I'd let a week go by and let the dust settle before commenting on what the team needs to do in the future. Well, I think we need to focus on the two major pieces of this franchise, Tom Brady and Bill Belichick.
That's what you said before the break.
First,
if
Brady.
If you guys had your way, there'd only be one major piece, Belichick.
First, Brady. I think first and foremost is an extension is needed for him.
Good
I would be very concerned about going into September and him on the last year of his deal. Could it be the first sign that Brady will be another statistic like Seymour, Vrabel, and others?
No.
Or is... will the excuse of the CBA be brought in? One thing is for sure, Brady needs to be re-signed before moving forward, or it does send out an alarm about the future of the franchise. One thing to knock Brady for, and I think Paul, if he's in the house, he'll agree, Brady's game last week and his work ethic. For 2 years now, his work ethic and has been brought into question. He is not the same person, and I have not seen that same fire that made Tom Brady so special. The game last week, well, let's say that when number 11 was here, he was ripped for the same things. Number 11 was almost put out to pasture after a game in Three Rivers in 98. And number 11 also was ripped for taking that first jet to Montana after the season was over. Not saying Brady's like that, but Drew got bashed for some of the same things we are seeing.
The
did you not see
is,
fire in Brady this year?
No,
I thought I did.
This year or this week?
No, this year.
No, this year,
definitely.
This year, of course.
I look back to Joey Galloway, who was on the end of the fire.
It's not that effing hard.
Right. But last week, maybe it was because it went so bad so fast.
It could be.
Yeah.
I saw fire from him last
it
week.
Wasn't
it just
same.
Didn't work.
It wasn't. Mm-hmm.
Now, I'll say this. There's a big difference between the Bledsoe. Everything he's saying about Bledsoe is true. Everything it used to drive me crazy.
Yeah. What did you call it? He didn't have hot.
He didn't have the fire in
right,
the belly.
Right.
The fire.
And then he yelled at Vincent Brisby, and they all of a sudden he's got
all
it.
Of a sudden he was a leader.
Right.
It's stupid. It just wasn't in his makeup or whatever, and I always thought it was overrated. However, if you're going to compare the two, you're saying the same things about Brady that you said about Bledsoe, only Brady won a hell of a lot more games.
Right.
Brady has won 3 Super Bowls, and his way has proven to be right.
But
I don't think there's been a change in his philosophy.
I think there's a little.
Well, no, there has been a change in his life.
There's a change
and that's
in
why
his life,
he's
but
a
not
different
his philosophy.
Guy than when he
and that's
first
why
came
people
here.
Are questioning it,
yeah.
though.
But
for Drew to never have
you don't
it,
think that sounds
is
silly?
Different than for Brady to have it, win Super Bowls, seem to not have it, and people are watching him go home early.
Let me tell you something. Probably getting married and having kids has been a calming effect because. You know, it wasn't out there, but he liked to play the field
it's out
back
there now.
In 04
it's out there
and
now.
03. You know, it's not like he was going home at night and reading books.
Yeah, but he was right. Here.
When he wasn't here, he wasn't home reading books.
But he was here all the time. He's not here all the time now. That's what fans are pointing
to. That's the difference.
I think it's ridiculous.
He partied in Boston and then was here to work out. Yes. He didn't go to Costa Rica and skip a week.
In the offseason, he's not here as much. But during the season, he's here as much, if not more.
No,
I agree.
But they're talking about the offseason.
Yeah.
Much like they used to complain that Bledsoe was on the first plane home to Montana.
Right.
I have no doubt that Bledsoe was working hard. Because you just can't be as good as he was without trying.
The perception is if you're not here, you're not working out.
Yeah.
Right. And I think it's a little
silly.
Or
you're
silly.
Not committed.
I think, when you're on your own,
you're not working out as hard.
People have looked at Brady, and I've heard this line a million times since they lost to Baltimore. He lacks the drive. He doesn't have the drive anymore. And I would look at it and say, are you kidding me? If he didn't have drive, why, he wouldn't have been on the field in the state that he was in at the end of the year.
I mean, the other veterans were taking time off in training camp. He missed not one practice.
But down the stretch of that season with the injury. Injuries that we know he was dealing with. These aren't, it's not like 2002 where we didn't find out about it until after the fact.
Right.
We knew about these.
Right.
He was held together by tape by the end of the season.
So I'm not buying it. I'm with Paul. Belichick, he says, I think it's safe to say that this is Belichick's most important offseason as a head coach of the New England Patriots. The window with Brady is still there, and some improvements are needed for him and the staff. This was not Bill Belichick's best coaching year. Too many gaffes, time management, the pro personnel choices, the message not getting through to vets like Thomas and Burgess. Was Belichick spread too thin, or is it a case of one place too long? My hope and belief is that he's spread too thin, which I can't understand why he won't bring in a veteran coach presence to help him. Your take is always appreciated, and look forward to more insight from you as always. And P.S., go Saints. I'm also rooting for the Colts to beat the Jets because the Jets being in the AFC title game is more painful, and it would be nice to see the Colts lose to the Saints and have Peyton a Super Bowl loss.
Mm. Nah, I don't buy that one. The Saints part I buy, but not the Colts part.
Yeah.
I'm rooting for the Colts.
Really?
I can't root for the Jets.
Me too.
I can't root for the Jets. First of all, I like to think that at least the team that's going to win it is a good team. And I think the Jets, for most of the season, weren't a good team.
Yeah.
You know, maybe they're playing well right now, but 9-7 teams for me, I don't like that. I'll be rooting for the Colts to beat them. No question. Then, you know, we'll see what happens. If it's Minnesota, I'll be rooting for the Colts to win again. If it's the Saints, then I got a choice to make. I'll probably root for the Saints.
Okay. I think I want to see the Colts lose to the Jets. I'm going to root for the Jets.
I'm with you.
You're an old Jets fan from way back.
That's true.
Yeah.
You go back
to have history.
But once off, I'm off. It's like quitting cigarettes. You know, you love cigarettes while you're smoking them, but once you quit, you hate them. You despise them.
Most people, once they quit, have a relapse when you quit cigarettes?
Well, some do. But some if you do. Can get off it, you despise it.
The Belichick.
Like Lawyer Malloy, when you got off him, you ripped him, and then.
Then that's when they smoke it.
Belichick points that the emailer makes, I think, are accurate. I think that he did struggle. I think he was stretched too thin. We talked about it all offseason. Mm-hmm. And I think he had a tough year. Just in his coaching duties, head coaching duties, I think he had a tough year.
I think that tough year would have been made a lot better if those personnel choices in the offseason had hit.
I agree. Sure.
That made the season so much. I mean,
no, that's true, that they might not have been in positions where his decisions could have hurt them as much as they did. But the fact of the matter is, I think he made three or four decisions in games that really weren't good ones.
Brian in Tuscaloosa. After the Ravens went up 21-0 on the Pats, I threw my hands up in the air, shut the TV off, and went grocery shopping.
I wish we could have done that.
a few positives to take from the season. We were able to replace Lonnie Paxton without incident. That's all I got.
Wow. There were more positives than that.
Come on.
A couple high snaps.
Too many for your liking.
We didn't mention Jake Ingram all year long.
What the hell did Patriots ever do to Kelly Washington to cause him to go on his boisterous throat-slashing the era is over tirade on the sideline?
Well, I didn't know if people heard that.
That's who he is.
When we were downstairs. We didn't talk about that. Andy, Eric, and I were waiting by the by the tunnel, and they stop you, and he came in, and he was screaming it.
I think he's just having fun.
I think that's who he is.
This era is the era is over.
I mean, think of how excited he got on just kickoffs here. I mean, that's who he is. Yeah. He generates motivation.
And what the hell did he do so special for the Ravens that their coach gave him a 2-cup Gatorade bath at the end of the game? I don't know.
I didn't see that.
Hypothetically, could you ever envision Vrabel doing that if the Chiefs had come here and won? Yes, I could. I think it further illustrates the point that character is important when bringing these guys to uphold the Patriot way.
I mean, if Vrabel had come here with a team and done anything, it would have been like when Roger Clemens glared at the box with Dan Duquette in it. He would have been glaring at Bill Belichick.
If Mike Vrabel had three sacks in a game, he would have stared at Belichick after all three of them.
Yeah.
Especially if the game was competitive.
Oh. Yeah.
As they should,
by the way.
Somebody says you're done.
Right.
You're not done and stick it up their butt.
The character / Patriot way thing is one of the more overrated aspects of the last decade. Talent wins.
But I think the buy-in is not overrated. I think they struggled this year to get guys
to
buy in.
That's different.
And I think you can be okay if you buy in and you're better than the guy who's okay and doesn't buy in.
Right. Much like Corey Dillon bought in 2004, didn't buy in 2005.
I think the buying in, I mean, even, you know, Thomas and Springs and some of that this year was about buying in.
I agree.
And
but it's not like character / you know, any special magic elixir.
Right. It's just, I mean, it's knowing guys and talent.
I agree with you. I think, I'd be willing to relent a little bit of what I'm saying.
Don't get me wrong. I'd take talent over buy-in, but if I can't have the talent, then I want the mediocre guy to buy in. Because if the mediocre guy doesn't buy in, then he's really no use to me. Right. Like James Sanders. He's mediocre. He buys in and he makes him.
If he was
a good part of
your team, he wouldn't be.
He would suck if he was popping off after games.
Andy just said James Sanders was mediocre.
Well, let's be honest. He's not Ed Reed.
No, but
how many guys?
He's a good player.
You saying that?
How many posts do you think you could find if you Googled the words Andy Hart, James Sanders? Probably a lot.
Probably the top 500,
especially if you're on Match.com.
And let's see. Things turned around when he re-entered the lineup. Well, at least sort of turned around until that Ravens game.
So the last two.
Well, that I get pass. Have we talked about the news of the day, though? I mean, sort of in this stretch here.
Kansas State beating Texas last night?
No.
Okay.
Buffalo Bills?
Mike Nolan out in Denver.
Yes.
Reportedly going to Miami. Dean Pease possibly going to Denver. And the Patriots still not having a coordinator.
Well, no, let's talk
and
about
Chan
Nolan
Gailey getting
first.
Hired as the
I mean,
Bills
Nolan,
head
I thought
coach,
the Denver defense was pretty good this year. That was
your
one
favorite
of his
coach?
Strengths.
Well, it improved. No question.
Yeah, and I thought that was attributable to Nolan, but
you're not getting a free lunch for Paul. You're
not
getting
he must a free not have lunch. Gotten along with McDaniels.
Doesn't sound like anybody
well,
gets along.
Three guys, right? That's the third guy of the staff that's left already?
Oh, I don't know.
I think that's what I read
since
today.
The offseason started?
Yeah.
I'm a big Josh McDaniels fan, but there's a lot to criticize.
It's unraveling. Now, and we also know Andy made a good point about Dean Pease, him having a relationship with the McDaniels family.
Is that right? I didn't know that.
So that might have something to do with why he's gone there.
I'm loving that.
And his
Pat
brother,
Bowen.
I read this you online, know? His brother, who's an assistant under McDaniels, Ben, I think.
Did you see what he just did?
No.
That's he broke his all-time record for
How soon the guy leaves and
the
he's
quickest
bad.
Severing of ties with a former Patriot.
No, I don't want my head coach.
He never said anything bad about Dean Pease.
I don't
stop
want
stop it.
Well,
I never said, the last 4 years,
but
he's never
he always said
him.
Like Dean Pease is a nice guy,
right?
But he's never said anything bad about him.
My point here,
but
is
he kind of did
Paul
without
was waiting
saying anything.
He was waiting for the to be able to bring this up.
There it was.
But my point is, if I'm an owner, I don't want my head coach making decisions because they're family friends. That should not be a factor at all in making decisions.
Ernie Adams,
he's looking for a defensive coordinator, and he has a guy that he's comfortable with. I don't see what's wrong with that. Isn't that the same as hiring
but
like
is
Romeo
is he comfortable
or
with him because of his aptitude or because they're family friends?
Both.
He's a coach. They know each other because he's a coach, not because he was a friend.
Everybody who's
you
hired
just said
in this
they
league
have
is
a family
friend.
Relationship.
They do.
They knew each other, but as a coach, they knew, that's how
well,
they
why
got to know
bring
him.
It up then? If he likes him as a coach, that's why he brought
because
him. Because has nothing to do with a family
Dean
relationship.
Dean Pease tried to hire Tom McDaniels as a coach when
he
was at Kent State.
Right. So now
that's the relationship.
This is payback?
Okay. Yeah, I guess you're right.
I mean, I'd rather have Mike Nolan than Dean Pease.
Well, they didn't that wasn't an option. Mike Nolan left.
You know.
The thing I'm
Josh didn't fire Mike Nolan to get Dean Pease.
Well, then what did he do to Mike Nolan to make him leave?
That's the question
that we're trying to figure
that's
out.
What
why
I said he doesn't get along with anyone?
Okay,
not so playing and working to, well so with others.
That's
obviously.
Why he has to bring in family friends.
Oh God,
because he doesn't get along with people.
Just stop embarrassing yourself with your comments about Asante Samuel and Mike Vrabel.
He's not a team player.
He beat your team.
Fred's making air quotes when he says that.
He's not
I know
hygienic.
From experience, dude.
He doesn't wipe well.
What?
You're just embarrassing.
It's from the Saturday Night Live skit. You have to have seen it. Chris Farley.
Haven't.
The late, great Chris Farley.
A lot of emails.
I know from experience, dude.
So would anyway,
you,
Mike
would you
Nolan.
Pick up Mike Nolan?
Yes, but Mike Nolan is
going to Miami.
Yeah, looks like he's heading there.
Another reason you're falling further back in the division.
Yeah.
Well, by the way, a lot of people
maybe
did post,
finish third.
Well, a lot of people are
we're
posing
okay
it as
though
a,
because Chan Gailey's not going to get
a three-way race. Most people are now saying that the Dolphins are also in the conversation,
they
which
should,
I don't
they
agree
should
with.
Be in the conversation.
They should be.
Chad Henne, no further.
Mm-hmm. Well, they need the a quarterback, but they should be in the conversation.
I think he stinks.
They are in the conversation. Yeah. I agree with you, Fred.
They need a better quarterback, though.
Chad Henne stinks.
Sean this says, time 2 years from now, Patriots would be looking for a quarterback, too. So then we
no chance. As much as you've tried to float the idea,
I don't,
the more we've talked about it, it's never happened.
Why do I just float in
well,
the idea
no, Andy,
when
explain,
one after another high-priced guy has left here?
No,
because
Andy,
never,
explain what you mean by it's never happened.
A franchise quarterback in the middle of his career just leaving via free agency just doesn't happen. It would be unprecedented. It would
right.
be like going for it on fourth and two in your own end.
Teams wrap those guys up. They
and
won't,
it would
they
be
always...
like Belichick getting rid of Bernie Kosar in the middle of a season.
Yeah,
well,
but
I
he
don't
wasn't
think
that
Bernie
good.
Kosar was not Tom
he
Brady.
He was the franchise quarterback just because he wasn't as good as
but he was
Tom
at the
Brady.
End. He was Drew Bledsoe. He was closer to Drew
so
Bledsoe.
So I can't possibly come up with an argument because he's one of the two best quarterbacks to ever play.
No, you give me – I would include anybody.
So if Peyton Manning doesn't leave, I can't
if
ever
Eli
say
If Eli Manning
it.
Had left this year, I'd include Eli Manning. But
you wouldn't
didn't.
Include Bernie Kosar they, and you would include
no,
Eli Manning?
No, because Eli Manning's in the midst of his career. Kosar was done.
He's
he was at the end of the road.
The
you really think Brady's going to be
was
a 20-year quarterback?
Still a viable NFL quarterback.
No, but he's in the middle
he was,
of his career.
He's played 10 years.
Right.
The middle, then that would mean he's going to play 20.
Plenty of quarterbacks play into 14 seasons, 15 seasons.
Then that's not the middle of his career.
He's in the middle of his
You're
career.
You're being very literal.
Yes, you are. This is why people don't like you.
I'm with Eric.
You're like McDaniels. You don't play well with others.
I want to know if you're going to get a Brett Favre type who won't retire till he's 45, or if you're going
to
get someone
if
like
he's
a Troy Aikman
my
who's going
to
retire when he's 34.
Game,
yes, I'll take him. I'll keep him for 20 years.
I'm trying to understand
you,
your thinking. Eric. You're saying he's in the middle of his career.
Yes,
the
he
middle
is.
Means he has half of it left.
Fred, you want to handle the guy who doesn't know where the tight end lines up?
Yeah. I would say that he's definitely not. You could say that, you know, he doesn't have as many years left as he's already played, which means he's not technically in the middle, but he's in his prime playing. He's playing as well, and you can see him playing that well for the next few years anyway.
That, to me, says that he's on the downward end of his career.
Maybe well, he is.
Okay. I don't know.
But
do you think any team
I
would
think
give him a five-year contract?
They might give him the contract, but I don't think he'd play
year,
it out.
Five-year
really?
How much contract?
I'm top dollar.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I could see them giving it to him. I don't know if he would play it out, though.
So Peyton Manning's on the back end, too.
Yes.
Because he came in the league before him.
Correct.
And he's, you don't think he's going to get a $100 million
though.
Extension?
They're roughly the same age.
Yeah,
though.
But he's not going to get a $100 million extension because
he's
on the back nine. It's just about over. Pack it in, Peyton.
I don't know why.
Oh, am I being overly literal? Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that.
Well, I don't know why being on the back end means he's about to pack it in.
That's what he's saying. I'm saying he's in the middle of his career. He's got a good chunk of career left. He's not done.
See, I don't think he has a big chunk of his career.
I said a good chunk, not a big chunk.
I don't think he has a good chunk of his career left. I think he has
I
three
do.
Or four
okay,
years
we'll
left.
Differ. Maybe he's done.
That's why I would give him that contract.
Okay, he wants 9 years, and you think
I
he's going
to give it
three.
To him.
Well, no one's going to give him a 9-year deal. That's
I would be
real.
Reluctant to give him a 6-year
deal. Lewis
deal.
Do you think Ray Lewis is going to play out that deal?
And I don't think he's in the middle of his career. I think he's at the end.
Right, and I think Brady and Manning are in the same position. They might get those huge long-term contracts, but they're not going to live them out.
But I think they're in the middle of their career.
And if you're asking
more quarterbacks play till they're in their teens than middle linebackers get better in their teens. Ray Lewis is 14 years. He's on the back end. It's
right.
coming to a close. Plenty of quarterbacks play year 14,
to have had a
15,
resurgence
16.
Physically.
Well, he learned power at the NFL level.
Yeah, right.
But my point is, and this all started with something else, if you're asking me do I think Brady's going to resign, yes, I do. Unlike the rest of you, and it's not, it's just a difference of opinion.
Shot.
I think there's a, no. It's just a difference of opinion. I think there's a chance that he doesn't. You guys don't think there's
don't.
A chance that he doesn't. That's
Less
not a shot.
Than
that,
zero.
How is that a shot at Andy? I don't. That's not a shot at all. He thinks there's no chance. I think there is a chance. That's all.
I think there's a chance too, Paul.
I have seen the Patriots' way.
Right.
And the Patriots' way is to not give him $110 million.
But even
but
the Patriots,
Andy's saying it's different with the quarterback.
And it's different.
We'll see. Maybe it is.
It's different with an elite
they
guy
gave,
that's
they,
in the middle of his
career.
They
gave it to Bledsoe.
Give
it to Bledsoe.
This
so
is
we'll
Asante
see.
Samuel to me. This isn't Ty Law, Mike Vrabel, Willie McGinnis,
right.
anything. This is middle of career.
one of the best in the game at his position, marquee player.
And marketable marquee player, right?
But
and
more so Brady than – but I'm just talking about football-wise. Right. All those other guys were – kind of coming to, you could see reason to let them
for
go.
All of those right. reasons, I think that he'll resign. But I don't think it's automatic, and I can, I'll counter with, he's 33 now.
Yeah.
Injuries are starting to pile up now.
Paul,
not the guy he once was.
I'm agreeing with you, Paul.
Hasn't been really the guy in the playoffs now for the last eight games. I'm just playing devil's advocate, by the way. I'm coming up with the pockmark.
Saying what Paul is saying.
And I'm wondering if the Patriots are going to say it.
Yeah.
You know, much like Vince Wilfork, two-down player.
Yeah,
400
you know.
Pounds.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think you can come up with the pockmarks on anybody if you try hard enough to find them.
I'm with Paul. I don't think it's a 100% guarantee that
and
he
And
we
all know on this show that there's no bigger supporter than Tom Brady.
Possibility, however slim, that he doesn't.
The only way I think it doesn't is if they go get somebody. Because I don't see even – and we always say Mr. Kraft gives Bill the do whatever you want. If he has Brian Hoyer and Isaiah Stanbeck on the roster and he goes into the big office upstairs and says, I'm not going to go the distance with Brady. If he tries to go to X, we're right. going to let him walk. I think Mr. Kraft would say, you better walk with him then.
Right.
Because I don't think that's one where the owner stays out of it.
Right.
It's the franchise.
I
big F, little F, whatever F you want to put in there, he is it.
I think he'll be re-signed. I think that there's a probably a better than 85% percent chance that he resigns.
But there's a small
but
chance
I,
that he
I, unlike you, I'm holding out a sliver of
wait
you know,
and see.
That fear that they don't go to the mat. Mm-hmm. They're not willing to
and
see
the reason,
it all the way
the reason I think we have that is most quarterbacks who are in their prime, as you say, and are nearing the end of a contract typically get that contract extension that you're talking about
2 years.
2 years before
right.
the end. Brady's in the last year now when 2010
me.
Begins.
But most of them didn't have it coming into an uncapped year and no CBA. And
yeah. Right, but we didn't know a year ago that we were going to necessarily get to the uncapped year. There was still a possibility that they could resolve the issues by now.
Right.
And part of the small percentage of me that thinks that maybe it doesn't happen is Brady. Not so much the Patriots.
Right.
It's Brady and his unhappiness with how it all went down the last time, which I think was real, when he signed, I think, and left some money on the table under the guise of I'm going to allow them to put other guys around me, and then they proceeded to allow his wide receivers to walk away. So I think there might be some of that involved. I just don't think it's a slam dunk.
I don't either.
I think there's a slight chance.
You're negative. You close the door on the dynasty. You've given up.
And I certainly would be all in on re-signing Brady. I think that, you know, if his bad year is 4,300 yards and 28 touchdowns, I'll take it because that's a pretty good year.
Well, it's his average year. I mean, he did his average this year. The yard's not there, but touchdowns to interceptions, you can pencil him
in
every year.
The odds were above
for
average.
28 and 13, right. 12, or 14. Every year that he's been a full-time starter, save for the record-breaking
season.
The
only thing you could say.
You had 12, 13, or 14.
The
every
only
year.
Thing you could say negative about the numbers is. Yes, they were about the same average numbers, but that average season now, that used to be a very good season in the NFL. It's not anymore. You know, he was one of 22 quarterbacks to complete 60% of his passes, one of like 14 to complete 65%.
Yeah. But the touchdowns are still
there's
high.
There's like 11 guys that threw for more than 4,000. You're talking about half the league throws for 4,000 yards now.
Right, but touchdowns to interceptions, that's still good. If you go 28 and 12 every year, you're good.
It was good.
You're among the best.
Good.
You're among the best. I mean, what Peyton Manning have 33 touchdowns?
Statistically, he was just good this year.
But
statistically,
that's the best. You're among the best. 34 led the league, I believe.
But there were guys that threw a lot fewer interceptions than that.
In that category.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Brett Favre had like 5.
And how many touchdowns did he throw?
I don't know, 26?
Yeah, so I don't. He only had 5?
I think.
I don't think that's accurate.
He was single digits anyway. Drew Brees was single digits.
Doc, how many interceptions for Favre this year?
Yeah, get
year?
Those.
I thought he had 5. I thought he had 2 all
but
year.
You're in the conversation.
A couple
sure, there's
going to
be 2, but every year you're the same. Brett Favre won't be at 5 every year. My point is you're always going to be in the top whatever.
I'm kind of getting painted out that I'm...
Yeah, you're running Brady out of
I'm
town. You're
Brady's
playing Fred for Fred.
I'm just saying that the same numbers that Brady has in 2004 aren't as good in 2009 because everybody else is a lot better.
7.
Yeah, I don't really agree with that.
Right. You don't agree
with
that?
Aside from the yards, it's still the same. The
yards are way up.
No, but I mean everybody's yards
everything
have ballooned. 4,000 does not mean
but
what
everything
used to
has meant. Ballooned. Completion See, percentage, yards per
well,
attempt.
Completion percentage. You know, I'm talking about touchdowns to interceptions. That's what I'm talking about.
So, okay, one stat is roughly the same, and that's okay?
Well, I think that's the most important
But it wasn't
stat
like he had the best in the league.
No, I know. He's had what he's had every time except one. 28 and 12. Or 26 and 14.
Didn't he have 14?
Or 28 and 14. What?
Interceptions?
This year?
Yeah.
13, I believe.
13, okay.
Sorry, it wasn't 12. I'm saying it's 12, 13,
well, I don't
or 14
know. I got yelled at for saying 5 year. When he had 7. I mean,
but I've said 12, 13, or 14 every year. It's the same. It's clockwork. Punch it in. Same.
Right, but he used to be the only guy who did that. Now a lot of guys do
oh,
that.
Oh, see, I don't think so.
All right.
He's the only guy that didn't throw interceptions in the past?
He was one of the guys who led the league in fewest interceptions per attempt.
Rivers never throws interceptions.
He was way down. I'm talking about 2004 before Rivers was even playing.
Okay.
That's part of what I'm saying is Roethlisberger's, Rivers, Aaron Rodgers, these guys are now doing the same thing that Brady did in 04.
Right.
As a routine. Brady used to be at the top of the game doing that with Manning.
But he's still at the top of the game. You're still talking about the top five
right,
quarterbacks
except for,
in football.
Except for now, there's 15 guys doing that instead of five.
Think so. I think you're still...
That's my only point.
You just mentioned guys that are considered in the top five, whatever, of football.
Okay.
No?
I didn't realize Aaron Rodgers was that good.
I hear everybody blowing him left and right. I mean, he's considered an elite quarterback.
I can't say that.
Whatever. But he can say poop bum?
No, I get yelled at. They put together skits about it.
At least mine isn't an all-out swear.
Let's see. Sean writes
ball washing,
in.
Is that better?
Right. How in God's name can letting go of Brady even pop into anyone's mind with
Paul?
No second option? Draft picks? Wow. That has worked out well.
Can I stop for a second?
Okay.
That was part of the reason why last week I brought up the thing about the 2011 pick. Would you consider entertaining the thought of taking a quarterback if it was
but
a
isn't
top
that too
three
late?
Pick? Yeah. Yeah.
Wow, that went smooth. Well, I thought it was going to
be a button okay there, huh?
Because I think if you're letting Brady go, you need to do this year.
But in order to do that,
you need to have the guy kind of a year in the system.
Yeah. The Aaron Rodgers kind of thing.
Yeah, well, that was even more than a year, but yeah, they did it.
See, there's really no quarterback
if they get Sam Bradford, by the way, okay, run him out of town.
All right, so trade your 2011 pick for the pick this year and take Sam Bradford.
Is he healthy?
Yeah, so I was going to say, you sure that's the one you want to...
If he's healthy, I'll take Sam Bradford. I'll run Brady out of town with you guys.
So then why am I so dumb for even entertaining the fact of letting
him
go? We're
not running
him
out of town.
When you would just snap your fingers and say, I'd rather have Sam Bradford.
I didn't say rather,
but at least it's worth talking about.
But you know how I feel about Bradford. I think he is Brady and Manning. So now I've pushed the clock ahead. Now I think for the next 12 years from 20
on. So you're in line with my line of thinking. Anybody can do it.
I picked one guy. I think he's a generational talent.
Sam Bradford's a generational talent?
Yes, I think he's a future Pro Football Hall of Famer.
Oh, my God.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
I could not think any higher of him. Yeah. I think he's as accurate as they come.
I said it earlier in the show, Freddie,
huge.
and I'll repeat it. That's why he's good. He doesn't sit on the fence.
I love him.
He has opinions,
that's why
and he's not
that's
afraid
why
to state
them. Like he has a piece of wood up his ass.
I just said he doesn't sit on the fence.
Right. Paul has the wood up his ass because he can't decide.
No.
To see 19-0 in Brady.
Oh, by the way, I don't think E-Trade commercial with the baby. No. Forget it.
I haven't seen this one.
It's terrible.
Yeah, where's the old baby?
Yeah, it's not the there's same baby. It's not the same voice. It's
have you
not
seen the
good
one where there's like five of them and they're singing?
Yeah, the only part that I like about that is at the end there, the surprise
yeah,
face.
Yeah, but they shouldn't have brought that back.
The old baby gets
you don't
old
watch Two and a Half Men, do you?
No, I don't.
Well, he was in the midst of something, and all of a sudden he goes, whoa, 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 whoa. He goes, that talking baby commercial's on. I got to watch it. And I thought of you immediately.
Oh, yeah, by the way, have any of you guys ever taken 5-Hour Energy? Those little...
No.
You don't know... Have you ever used it, 5-Hour Energy?
No. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Kyle Posady used to be big into all those.
Yeah.
That's like
what's
the monster drink. Or
yeah, but it's like this big.
But it's supposedly the best. It's like this big. Eric, you get that a lot, huh?
Oh.
It's big in your hand, which is, let's be honest, it's where it usually is.
That's what Ricky's... What is
Ricky
it?
Gervais.
Who'd I never heard of, but he's pretty funny.
He invented The Office.
It's true.
The original one.
Right.
He was very
the funny.
Version.
The funny one.
Maybe the best host I've ever seen. Maybe the best hosting job I've ever seen. The other
really?
Day. Yeah.
I saw the...
did you see when
the crack that Mel Gibson drinking was funny?
I like a drink as much as the next
anyone.
Guy. Unless the next guy is Mel Gibson.
And then he also took a shot at Paul McCartney, which was kind of funny.
Yeah. And he said he was sitting in coach. They rode on the same plane because he had a tough year financially because he lost half of it.
And much like this show, Paul didn't take it too well.
That's true. He made it kind of a face.
Well, you like Paul McCartney? You don't like people making fun of Paul McCartney?
No.
Sir Paul McCartney?
No,
I was...
That just went over your head.
I was making a joke that
Paul McCartney didn't take it well.
Paul didn't take it well.
Paul didn't take it well.
Right.
Eric
the other Paul.
Right.
Not Sir Paul Perillo.
No.
That's two.
You're not getting the free lunch, Andy.
I know. I turned down a free lunch for us. I just want you to know.
Why is that?
Because the psychopath...
Somebody offered me if I could make 10...
The hard way?
...homosexual jokes about Eric in the first hour, they'd buy us lunch. I said I could do it in the first 10 minutes.
Right.
Who offered you that?
Psychopath from London.
Right. My straight man over here is good. Not you. I'm obviously pointing. You can't see.
You're not getting the lunch.
Sean writes in to talk about how could anyone entertain drafting Brady without a second option.
Uh-oh, struck a nerve, Paul. Running Brady out of town.
As soon
Paul
as they
Perillo.
Mature,
I didn't entertain that thought.
PFW blogger Paul Perillo is thinking of running Tom Brady out of town. That's what it says on Pro Football.
Draft pick, as soon as they mature, they go somewhere else and get paid a fair salary. Pats better make some moves, otherwise we will be trading places with the Jets. I sent an email last week asking if the Jets look like the 2001 Pats. If they beat the Colts, would I be that far off? I don't think you would be.
I think they're far more talented than the 2001 Pats.
By
landslides. Yeah. Yeah, they have more
much
talent.
Better defense.
Yeah.
And unlike the 2000, that roster got turned over immediately. There was a moving in the right direction to get to 04 and 03 and 04. This team, if they are good, are going to be pretty much good.
Better running game.
The centralized roster they have. Sure, they'll, you know, Woody will be gone or Faneca will eventually go, but they have the basis of their team that could be good.
A common thread on those two teams, Damian Woody.
Didn't work out in Detroit.
No, but those two teams.
That's true.
Strippers wants to know if we think that Ron Brace will prove to be a bust or will he come around and play well?
Bust.
It's not looking good right now, but it's only 1 year.
See, but I think it's mental. Fred thinks it's physical. I think that's a big... Mine can be overcome, I think. If he just stinks.
I don't know.
Fred
man.
Is right.
He looked
stinks.
Like he was pushing back. They're pushing him back 5 yards.
We didn't like his draft tape.
I thought he rode Raji's coattails.
I thought he was somewhat overrated coming out of college. Now, I can't base that on anything I've seen as a pro because I just haven't seen enough of him.
Yeah,
but if Myron Pryor is that much better than he is, I think he's got all the earmarks of the bus.
See, I think here they misjudged him and thought that he was the unknown guy that made Raji look better.
Yeah, I think it was the other way around.
And it was the other way around. But I don't know. I mean, who knows, but it just didn't physically.
That'd
he looked like he would
Patriots.
Get outman.
You know what? That would be typical Patriots line of thinking. No, everybody else thinks that Brace rode. We saw something different.
Who were Peyton Manning's receivers at Tennessee?
I'm not saying.
It wasn't the quarterback. It was his target.
Kelly Washington.
I'm not saying.
Whoa, what? Jeez. This is a test. What are you doing, Andy? It doesn't work if you unplug it.
Andy is now talking into half of a microphone that's not plugged in and not understanding why it's not coming
it
out
over
the
It came undone.
Yeah.
Who was the scary one on Fox?
What do you got?
All right.
Scary
let's see.
In an I'd banger kind of way?
Chris with a T.
Chris, what is wrong with you today?
Chris with a TIA.
Body mouth.
You must be kidding me. The AFC Championship game, Jets? While I hate the Jets and am stunned they're in it, I will find myself cheering for them against the pompous Bill Polian in the Colts this weekend. However, Peyton is playing the best football of his career, yes, even better than his 49 TD year, and it will be a tall order for the Jets. I don't want Indy to win because I'm a selfish Patriots fan, and I don't want to see Peyton win another ring.
Yep.
One is enough for you, you penis head. As for the Chargers, I can't say I'm surprised. Vincent Jackson looked like 2006 all over again. What would the playoffs be without a shot of LT walking off the field, dejected with his helmet and black visor on?
You know, that's another. We didn't get to talk about the games enough, but North Turner. I mean, I know the guy gets beat up enough.
He deserves it.
How can you come into that game and say, We're 31st in the league in rushing. Let's establish LT. I mean, that was the dumbest thing I've ever seen.
Against a bad rushing.
Against a good defense in general.
Yeah, you average 3 yards a carry all year. Let's
that killed you. You needed all of those plays passing to get first downs. And every time he ran the ball, all he was doing was taking one play away. They didn't have a successful run in that game with the exception of the two draws late in the first half but for Sproles. Every LT rush was an inefficient run.
Got a contract extension out of that game plan.
Oh God,
Turner
and then,
did.
Not LT. And then onside kick with 2:09 left. Oh God, you had a timeout and a 2 minute warning. You kick it deep. You get the ball back with about 1:10 left.
You think LT has anything left?
Yeah,
very little.
I think he's
very little.
He'd be a Patriot.
Would you sign him?
No, but he'd be a Patriot. Sign him?
No.
I mean, would you? As
my number four back, sure.
I don't want him.
I wouldn't.
I think he can still find you the end zone a little bit.
Better off with Fred Taylor or LT.
I think an awful lot of LT. I think he was great.
I think their line was not.
I don't think he was overrated at all.
I think he wasn't.
I think he was great.
He's the perfect example of it can just go like that.
Yeah, I've seen enough runs that he had this year that were like 3, 4, 5 yard runs that in the old days would have been.
He's not
25 yard runs.
There was one the other day.
Yeah, I know there was one you were talking with. The one good run he had the other day should have been a great run.
Right.
I know exactly the one you're talking about.
But that's why it's the opposite of quarterbacks. I wouldn't touch the running backs with
10-foot
poles.
The Emmitt Smiths are the rarity. The guys that go year after, they have a short shelf life.
Curtis Martin.
Yeah. He's a rarity.
Oh, I thought for sure your button hooked me there.
Yeah.
I thought for sure you. Yeah, he never did anything.
What's Eric doing over there?
I'm trying to see how old LT is.
Oh.
30?
Ninth season. But I think he was young coming out. Wasn't he like 20?
He was an underclassman.
21?
Probably 20,
so he might just be 30.
I guess 30.
Wow.
You two are going to fight?
Wouldn't that
you
be like
you two are just
wouldn't
like
that
an
be
old
in that
married couple today.
That's what I was saying. I don't know. It doesn't give his age. It just says ninth season.
Doesn't give his
birthday.
No, he's about 31.
So look at the end of his bio.
30, maybe.
Doesn't say LaDainian T. Tomlinson
was
born
on. No?
Born in Rosebud, Texas. That's
Rosebud.
It.
Nathan says, Nathan's from Southern Cal. He says, after hearing the interview from Fred Taylor on EEI, I see what you guys thought of it. He said, not a direct quote, that the Pats need not rest on their previous accomplishments, but they need to rekindle the fire every season. I agree with his statement. I also hope that the way that we lost the playoff game served as a wake-up call for everybody in the organization.
That's the hope. Much like 2006 created 2007, maybe 2009 will create 2010. Mike Lombardi wrote it. That was the first thing he wrote is, nothing motivates an offseason like an embarrassing loss to end the previous season or something like that. And, you know, he's a Belichick guy and philosophies created, whatever.
Can it work the other way? Can it discourage you to have almost like, someone tug? You know, it's like tugging on Superman's cape, you know? I mean, someone just came into your house and thrashed you. Do you lose a little of your confidence going into the offseason? Say, maybe we're not the team that we
different.
Used to be?
Yeah.
I think no, that I know can that, happen. But I'm talking about motivation in the offseason. That's not different.
I think that could happen with a veteran team like 06.
Yeah, I don't think
I
this
I don't know
team,
if it would happen with the team like this. With
I
a lot
know what
of
you're saying,
guys.
The whole Mike Tyson thing, the fear, and then he got knocked out and that happens to. I don't think this team was at that level. You know what I mean? I don't think they had enough confidence and enough swagger to lose it.
I think we saw that in 06.
It was already gone
when they lost to the Colts, and I think they were able to bounce back from that. I don't know if this
loss had happened.
They reloaded with talent.
But if this loss had happened in 2008, if that season had played out as a normal year, they make the playoffs and then they get blown out at home, then I'd say, oh my God, yeah. Now they lose to the Super Bowl. They come back the next year, get to the playoffs, and get knocked off again. Now the swagger's gone.
Yeah.
But to me, it's very.
Well, I think
Superman's cape was already gone.
Okay,
Superman was capeless.
They need a lot of help because
he can fly without a cape, right? That's just for appearances.
When you come back in, if you come back with the same,
it's just appearances.
Yeah, why
right?
did Superman? He have the cape?
I think just for looks.
Was it sort of like a thing to
well,
keep
superhero,
him level?
You have
in
to
the
have
air?
A cape.
You know, like
a rudder.
Darth Vader. Why the cape? Why do you
it's
need
badass
a cape?
Looking?
Yeah, capes are badass.
Are they?
Yeah.
Really?
Well, all superheroes have.
I could see Paul should wear a cape.
Batman had a cape, and he can't even fly.
Cape.
I think you should wear a cape with a walking stick. You know, have that kind of
like Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah.
I think you should shave your head. Get the hounds.
Oh, is that not relevant to this conversation?
That's coming though.
No,
all right.
Early next.
No, it's not all right.
Yeah, it is.
4 minutes.
That's going to be it.
Come on.
It says 2:00.
Let's go an extra hour. Let's go an extra hour.
I have a meeting. All right, that's going to be it for this edition of PFW Progress.
He has a meeting, so
we'll be monitoring the waiver wires and all that other stuff to see what's going on. We'll be monitoring whatever.
Maybe in the league that you run, you know, roughshod over where you can do anything at any time.
Well, the wires that are out there, we're going to monitor.
Lawlessness.
We're going to monitor.
You just signed Albert Haynesworth to a $200 million contract.
We're monitoring wires. All right, and we will see you Thursday.
Freddie might be a homer, but the PFW boys still respect him.
It's not a problem, Chief. Don't call me Chief. Sure thing, jerk. Chief is fine.
Patriots.com Radio.